starting them off. You got a gun. Fucking shoot them in the face.
Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D, out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Thursday, January 19th, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. With me is, in case you guys haven't read your calendar, tomorrow's his birthday, and it's Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Thanks, Jay. You know, always a pleasure to come on the show. Always. Every week I look forward to the show. You know what?
Yeah, man.
It's like I'm back in school again, you know? I got a bunch of stuff to talk about, a bunch of notes. I feel like I need a notebook, because all I got is loose leaf paper, and oh, shit, there goes all the papers on the floor. Got to pick them all up. Oh, shit.
Like someone just knocked you over in the halls.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, that didn't happen there that much go. In the fucking thing. It usually was because I'm too stupid and slipped over my own shoes. I didn't get pushed over in the halls. I'm a big dude. Come on.
Okay. Well, you know, this is a different school if we're going there, so well, let's see what goes on. Anyway, I have so much negativity in me this week. I am just
great
fucking,
way to start the show off. Great way.
I am just boiling with negativity this week, and I'll
try to bring positive information. So.
Oh yeah, that would be good, because I'm ready to fucking destroy people's feelings tonight. I have a lot to talk about. Stan's going to be on around 10, and I'll be sure to throw some fucking choice words at him as well. He's decided to jump on the bandwagon of a different team
here
this
we
week, seeing as his team got raped by a Jesus freak. And it's all good. We're not going to even get into football yet. I don't even know what to start out with, to be honest with you.
It's going to Raw.
Raw, yeah. Don't have a whole lot to say about that.
I watched everything. I watched all of Raw.
I watched the majority of it, too. I didn't like the majority of it, either.
Same here.
I could tell you the few things that I liked about it. And then outside of that, I could just give you comments on anything else you'd like to talk about.
I got a bunch of notes, so we'll use those notes good.
Dolph Ziggler cut an awesome fucking promo. When he's going back and forth with Punk and stuff like that, he really, you know, did step his game up as far as the promos and all that shit. Definitely, you know, made himself like look like the main eventer. I think he is. So that was good stuff.
Real quick off that, though, that was in the first segment. Mick Foley
right.
coming out to start the show off. I didn't really
yeah.
like that at all. I just felt that was kind of like very anticlimactic. I mean, Mick Foley is not the same Mick Foley from 10, 15 years ago. I really don't care if I see him. You know, I could care less if he's still wrestling. I mean,
Mick Foley should be mopping the floor and taking out the garbage in whatever arena that the WWE
right.
is you know, hosting. If he has to be employed, then, you know, make him your fucking official janitor. Or, fuck it, give him a fucking commentary spot, because I'm not really clinging to those guys too heavily at this point either. But as far as
right.
Mick Foley in the fucking ring, it's ridiculous. Mick
well,
Foley,
here's the thing. Real quick, sorry to cut you off, but, you know, the commentary station, you know, you got to realize one thing, and I mean, you know, you probably know this as well. They're not saying what is really on their minds. You know, they're saying what the backstage is telling them to say, to be quite honest with you.
But you can imagine Mick Foley on commentary, you know.
He's
have
done before.
You've had, yeah, I know, but you'd have, you know, several, like, remarks throughout the show on how, you know, oh, it's going to be sitting here instead of going through this off the top of a cage, you know, that type of thing. You know,
right.
There's things that he could say to make it work. And the dude can talk, but, you know, standing in the ring just, like, looking like an old fucking washed-up... See, the thing about Mick Foley is he was never a good wrestler. He was a bump machine.
Right.
He was an absolute fucking bump machine. He broke his fucking body to pieces. Now he's hobbled. Now he's fatter. Not that he was ever, you know, in rip shape any fucking way. But now that he's fucking hobbled, what is he going to do? He's going to come out there and pull a sock out of his pants and fucking throw the worst fucking double-arm DDT I've ever seen in my life. And maybe some horrible worked punches, like, as if he never wrestled before. And, like,
what's a
you know,
work punch? I don't know what a work punch is. What is a work punch? Anyway.
It's something that would get you killed in a street fight, you know? When you could tell from your house that shit isn't even coming near the other guy.
I thought they were real. I thought they were real punches. Sorry.
Yeah, a lot of kids did until fucking Mick Foley got into the ring that day.
Honestly, real quick, I know you have, you know, you talk about negativity, and this will get a negativity answer. If Mick Foley tried to get into the WWE now, would he get even close to getting into the WWE?
Not if he wasn't already fucking Mick Foley. Well, you know, the fact that he's already Mick Foley and he already killed himself in that fucking ring, you know, in a different building for WWE and came off the cage with fucking Taker and all that bullshit, none of that shit happened. They wouldn't let him fucking... he wouldn't get nothing. There would be no fucking spot for him. And this is, you know, a lot of the problems that I have and a lot of the ranting and raving I'm going to be doing over the course of this show, this is the fucking problems I have. As people do a little something, they do something that, you know... people enjoy for a minute, and then now all of a sudden they're locked in. Like, they take a spot, a roster spot away from other people for the rest of their lives. Like, they're, you know, it's just unbelievable. It's fucking unbelievable, and it's sickening to me as a fan. So, I don't know, you know, and it sucks because you end up having to shit on some of the people that you really respected over the years, and then, you know, once they're forced down your throat when they're a cripple, then you're just like, well, now I have no choice but to shit on this guy because I can't stand seeing him on my fucking TV at this point. So that's the whole thing with Mick Foley. Other thing I liked. Fuck that idiot's name. Zack Ryder lost his belt. Good stuff. Like that. I'm not the biggest Jack Swagger with a Lisp fan, but that's fine. I'll take Swagger any fucking day over this Zack Ryder idiot. I don't give a fuck who likes him. He's garbage. He really is negative a worker. His whole gimmick is just fucking about the gayest shit I've ever seen, man. It makes fucking... It makes Cole Calloway look like Brock Lesnar the way the fucking this dude walks around. I can't stand that shit. I can't stand that shit, so... Fuck all of that, and hopefully it's not just going to be a back-and-forth thing where he comes back and he gets the title back. And he goes, hopefully they saw that he wasn't fucking making anything happen with that belt, and now they're just going to continue to treat it like a real belt. And then he'll just continue to be seen as little boyfriend, and Cena will come rescue him everywhere. Because, like, Cena, like, got the angriest he's ever gotten in his career trying to kill people over the fact that, you know, Zack Ryder got beat up the previous week. I don't know what brought that anger out of him that he cares so much, but, you know.
Right,
yep.
Yeah. But, like, so you know, throwing, I don't know, I mean, you know, I have, like, everything, you know, since I watched.
Yeah,
stuff,
I mean, whatever you want to go over and shit,
okay.
Because,
well,
you know, the
you
next
know,
thing
I
got to say,
you
yeah,
know,
so.
Like, we've done this in the past, like, I want to ask you a few questions, different stuff, because, you know, there's a few things that, you know, kind of cross my mind, you know.
Yep. All right,
so, you know, with the whole Foley thing, getting back to the beginning, with Foley and Ziggler, and I don't know if it's just me, but they're kind of seeming like they're going to do something with Ziggler and Foley. Maybe, you know, they could do that to kind of give Ziggler the rub, but I don't know if Ziggler needs the rub. I mean, could you see that, like, going that way?
I could see Mick Foley raking Dolph Ziggler's lawn.
What was that?
Yep. I could see Mick Foley raking Dolph Ziggler's lawn. That's shoveling his driveway if it snows. That's like, what the fuck else is Mick Foley and Dolph Ziggler gonna do in the ring? Ziggler's a great fucking, you know, he's a great wrestler in the ring. He's now proven himself to be a good talker as well. He knows how to carry himself. He knows how to carry an angle. And then from there, we got a guy who has the fucking humor of a fucking science teacher. And, you know, he's as fucking in shape as, I don't know. Again, I'd go back to the janitor. Or, you know, he's probably in the shape of Rufus that used to hang out with Chris Jericho. And, you know, and then, you know, or the fucking, the Repo Man or some shit. And now, you know, this is what we got to deal with. So now you're going to actually build him up to give somebody a rub? I don't know.
Right.
I can't even understand that.
I just hope Foley's not in the Rumble, because he was hinting at that fucking being in the Rumble. Like you said earlier, he would pretty much be taking somebody's spot that somebody else could have. You know,
yeah,
and this,
but
I know,
honestly,
this is booking. You know what I mean? This is booking the way that the fucking booking.
Right. But honestly, the only single person I give a fuck about if they're in the Rumble or not is the person who wins it, and that's it. I don't give a fuck. It really does not matter. There's 29 people that don't matter when that match is over, and the only one that does is the one that gets the world title shot. That's it. It's a big clusterfuck of a match that I can't even believe became such a huge tradition, because it's just 30 fucking random people. Some are jokes. Some are, you know, legitimate contenders. You always get the two or three guys to team up to throw a big guy over the top. Brodus Clay will be eliminating at least five people. You can guarantee that shit, 5 to 10 people, and, you know, some will end up teaming up on him or catching him by surprise. They'll be dancing and they get kicked over the top rope or some shit. You know, this is just what the fuck you got and what it's going to be. And all it really matters is who gets the world title shot in the end, which I could definitely see them going Chris Jericho on that. And then you got your WrestleMania, and you could do the CM Punk and Chris Jericho without even having to work direct angle towards the two of them. You could still keep doing the Johnny Ace thing with CM Punk and Jericho doing his thing, and eventually they have to collide, so as it gets closer, they start to interact, and then Jericho does his whole, you know, thing there. You know, and he'll use, like, the cheesiest, corniest fucking tactics to win the Rumble. That's just my opinion. The way they're working this Jericho angle, it makes sense.
Right. Okay, so basically, you know, after that whole first promo was done, Epico and Primo, they won the tag belts the previous night off of Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston.
That's stupid.
At a house show. Won the belts at a house show. When the hell was the last time anybody won belts on a house show?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what the fuck goes on with that. I have no clue on the thinking behind this. This Epico Primo tag team, I really don't understand. And I don't know. Kofi and Evan are great, but I don't know if they're still being penalized for whatever, you know, wellness policy garbage or whatever the case is, what they're doing. Fuck it.
So they lost. They lost again. And right after Raw, Evan Bourne suspended for 60 days for the second wellness violation.
Evan Bourne suspended again?
For 60 days, yep.
Oh, fuck. So I guess that's why. Jesus Christ. So, honestly, that's two strikes. Chances are the shit happens again and he's gone.
Right.
You
he's
know,
not liked by... Triple H does not like him backstage.
Yeah.
Stephanie's the one that still likes him.
Yeah. I don't know what goes on with these backstage people. I'm just fucking fed up with the booking overall on the entire spectrum of professional wrestling, from the indies to the big leagues. I just think it's all garbage. The majority of the people who are booking things, I think, are complete douchebags. And named a company, and it probably applies. And, you know, I'm just fucking fed up with it, so I'm just going to keep speaking my mind. And obviously it's not going to make a dent in anything, but, you know, whatever. I don't like it, so.
Well, you know how our show runs. It seems like every time we say something, they like to try to change it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they'll have to change a lot of things. So, yeah, what else happened?
So, basically, after that, they went backstage with Otunga and Laurinaitis, and he gave him Laurinaitis an envelope. Pretty much, it was, you know, like we talked about earlier, it was the whole Ryder thing. It was a thing saying that Ryder wasn't able to compete, but he didn't open it until after the fact. But Laurinaitis then said that Chris Jericho would be in the main event tonight. And Jericho walks in and turns the lights off and shows his bright, you know, his sparkly jacket.
Yes, he did.
What was that?
Then
Swagger. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, because I'm going to end up jumping ahead anyway.
I was going to say no, because then Swagger defeated Ryder. It was a squash, pretty much. A squash match.
Yeah, which it should have been, because Ryder's garbage, and obviously they're not going with my theory. They're going on the Kane devastated him last week by, you know, choke slamming him, you know, 6 inches from where he was standing to a pallet that was really much closer to that ramp than I think they wanted to make you think that he threw him a lot further down. But you seen like his head pop up like right away after like he chokeslammed him, so it looked like shit. Which, imagine that between Kane and Ryder. And he popped back up and now he's out or whatever, and then, you know, it's then John Cena, you know, he got suffocated last week and that, well, he's back. It's all just whatever.
It's all bullshit.
It's really not heavily sold on someone who they were running from, like he was Jason Voorhees for the entire fucking episode. So to come back on that, my ribs hurt. My ribs are taped a little, and the other guy's just angry. You know, I don't know.
Next up was Kelly and Alicia Fox defeating the Bella Twins. Yeah, the Bella Twins. They brought out Perez Hilton, that gay guy, to be the ring announcer.
Yeah.
And, that was...
Yeah.
It was terrible.
That was ridiculous. I have no idea what the reasoning for any of that was. I don't know. Give a fuck about a Perez Hilton.
Fuck Perez Hilton.
I don't give a fuck about any Hiltons. It's fucking Paris Hilton, Perez Hilton, not a one of them. So... They're all just
then,
annoying and womanly.
Anyways, up next, R-Truth comes out. Cuts the fucking, you know, comes out, interrupted by Wade Barrett. You know, he said, basically Barrett says he's going to win the Rumble. Truth says they were doing some dumb fucking WWE Photoshop comedy. involving him with Disney characters and pretty much saying that if you know, Pinocchio, he asked, R-Truth asked Pinocchio, is Wade Barrett going to win the Rumble? And Pinocchio's nose grew. It was a fucking joke, blah, blah, blah. Miz comes in, fucking sneaks attack R-Truth. Sheamus comes in, fucking going at it. And then Theodore Long comes out and says they're going to have an open over the rope top rope challenge. So they do that, and R-Truth wins.
Yep. Don't know what that proves. I don't know.
Yeah.
So they all go into the Rumble, and none of them win it, and great.
That's it. There's no fucking, hey, this is for the number one, the number 30 spot, or none of that. It's just
nope.
Over the top rope Rumble.
No bullshit. Repercussions, none, nothing being won. Just like, hey, like that Rumble thing, why don't you do a little bit of that now? All right, see you guys later, so. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, whatever. Just fucking retarded booking.
And then Jay, like Jay mentioned earlier, Cena comes out, attacks fucking Swagger. Kane fucking does the fucking pyros go off. Kane does a video segment saying, "I'm glad you're fucking embracing the hate."
Yeah, Cena's actually angry for once. He's mad. So they're doing, I would guess, a slow heel turn, but I don't know if it's a heel turn or what it is. It's just because even if he gets angry and smashes somebody else for hurting his boyfriend, who's supposed to be a face, like, I don't know how any of this comes out in the end. It's all retarded.
Right. It is retarded.
Huge
and
insult.
Then, does anybody care? I don't think anybody cares.
No, they don't.
Okay.
So.
And then Brodus Clay comes out again. And he wrestled JTG.
I like the Brodus Clay stuff, but right now what he's doing is reminding you of people that you didn't know still worked there. It's like, oh, Tyson Kidd still works there. Look at that. Oh, that other asshole. Who's the other
Kurt
one?
Kurt
Hawkins. Kurt Hawkins. Oh, the other edgehead's still here. And he's not dressing like a retard. Well, yeah, he is, but a different type of retard. And then, look, JTG's still here. Hey, isn't that nice? And then he just beats these guys under 30 seconds, and they go back to not working anywhere. It's crazy because it's like he's supposed to have this, like, dominant force or whatever, and apparently, like, from what they were saying, the original plan was to have him squash Morrison. So if he squashed Morrison, like, I just don't know that the only thing I don't get is the fact that this is below low card. Because these guys weren't on the fucking card until Brodus showed up, and now all of a sudden he's squashing them, so now that becomes his picture. But that's not even low card, because these guys were off the fucking card the whole time until he showed up. And it's like, oh, you guys get another shot. Here's why you're not here anymore. And then he beats them with, like, one move, and then dances. And I find all of that entertaining, but I just can't wait till he gets into a picture where he's actually wrestling someone else that you remembered that worked there, or you've seen him in the past couple weeks or something like that. Like, someone else with a name, and maybe he goes back and forth, and we get a little bit of longevity to a match, and, you know, the little bit of teasers and the lead-in and all of that stuff seems to work, but I need a little more fucking substance out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they decided to have a promo where Daniel Bryan comes out, calls Big Show a cruel freak, and he says that his girlfriend will never be the same. He said that Big Show intentionally ran her over. He calls Big Show pathetic. And he basically says AJ loves him, and he will show her how much he appreciates that. On Friday. Night SmackDown.
Yeah. The whole angle, because that's SmackDown. We didn't talk about that last week because it happened, you know, the day after, you know, whatever the case was. It aired the day after, and we just didn't get the spoilers or whatever. But, you know, Daniel Bryan's playing that accidental heel type thing. And it works, but I don't know how long it's going to work. And, you know, there's no way his title reign is going to come off as credible when you have him against a guy like the Big Show. And, like, the Big Show is what he has to work up against. You don't get any of the, you know, if he was fighting half the guy that Brodus Clay is just destroying and getting a decent match out of them, he'd probably have a, you know, good-looking title run. Now, of course, that does look like a world title picture when you put JTG or Tyson Kidd in a match with Daniel Bryan. But if you find a way to do some kind of thing where you put young talent in there, even if they're non-title matches or something, and it's, you know, like, do one of those, like, you know, imitational things, or like they were doing the master lock thing, or they were doing the beat the clock challenge, and like all of those different things. Well, it's like, well, you know, if you beat me or you beat anyone in this match in a four-way within, you know, 2 minutes, then, you know, I'll give you a world title shot. And, you know, go on for a couple months of him doing that and just taking people apart. And they're trying to pin each other, and he's putting them in all these crazy submissions, and they're, you know, double-teaming them. He's hitting them with hard-hitting shit, and, you know, making himself look strong. You know, that, I mean, maybe something like that would work. I really don't know overall, like, the right way to get Daniel Bryan over. But when it's all said and done, I'd like to see his title run look good. And if it consists of just being up against the Big Show and, like, kind of, like, stumbling, like, Leslie Nielsen-ing him his way, like the Naked Gun shit, where he just kind of like falls backwards and, like, you know, hits something and it drops something on the Big Show's head and he goes, oh my God, and, you know, stuff like that happens week in and week out. And then, you know, I don't think that's, you know, the right. And they hinted all around, like, oh, how much do you love me, the whole thing with AJ. So, like, he was going to use her, and then he did the thing with Mark Henry the week before, and It's all expected.
Right.
You know, it's all kind of expected, and, like, that's the angle he's going. And, you know, it was like, oh, okay, well, next week, whoever wins this match is going to fight Mark Henry. Well, nobody won the match, so now they get to drag that out longer, and then he's going to be all, you know, pretending to be hurt over the situation. Or, you know, I don't really know. It's just, they can't go too far. A lot of these things are very short-lived gimmicks, short-lived booking decisions, I think, where it'll work for now, but you got to have some kind of payoff, something to tie it together so it makes sense in the end, or, you know, it'll be remembered a year from now, because right now a lot of this shit is just looking like short-term garbage.
Right, and I hate those fucking short-term fucking, you know, booking decisions. I hate that shit, like, without a passion, because you need to, like, because what happens after, you know, what happens after that, you know?
I don't know. So what happened next?
Okay, but, and then they went right to the main event, and it was Mark Henry, Dolph Ziggler, and Otunga defeating CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and Chris Jericho / Mick Foley. And after an overturned decision, Jericho comes out, does the same shit he did before, circling ringside, encouraging cheers. Jericho does not come in the ring at all. Jericho then just fucking leaves.
Yeah, he tags in, dances around in the ring, tags out, and tags Daniel Bryan, walks up the ramp and walks out. Yeah, that was done well. They continue to do really well with Jericho's angle of just being over the top fucking smiley douchebag. And I think that is going well. But again, you know, they're just torturing the fans with Jericho right now. And yeah.
Very much.
Yeah. It works. And then after that, they did the whole promo segment with Punk and laryngitis, and, you know, the thing there, that was the other thing that I really liked. He ripped him apart. He cut an awesome fucking promo. I loved the promo that he cut. I thought that, you know, he completely buried laryngitis, and, you know, that was a great promo. The thing that I did not like is the fact that he called him out a million times. He pretty much said he was going to beat him up. He got in his face. He did everything to disrespect the dude. Then when Mick Foley's lazy ass is standing in the ring after Punk leaves, Mick Foley barely says anything, and then Laurinaitis snaps and hits him with the mic. Come on, dude. Someone was just calling you out for like 10 minutes straight, and now he leaves, and the guy who's clearly far out of shape and not even belonging in the ring is standing there, and then you're like, you know what, I'm tired of it. Here we go. You know, that's ridiculous. Like, to have him snap makes sense. To have him snap 35 seconds after someone got done destroying him and now someone else is standing there, that's ridiculous. Because you're supposed to snap on the guy who's been bullying you the whole time or, you know, just really running you down the way Punk was. So I thought that was stupid. And I also don't know which spot is weaker. The hit him with the mic shot, because then you get the, you know, the sound of, you know, getting hit with the mic, or you get the open water bottle shot, where the water flies everywhere, so you get that effect. I don't know which one is a weaker actual thing, and they do both for effect, one for the sound, one for the visual, I guess. But honestly, I don't think anyone has ever hurt anybody in the history of wrestling. Plastic yeah. water bottle open, or the microphone. I don't, you know, with the big poofy thing on it. And then they kind of hit him with the bottom of it, but the big foam-topped microphone, he hits him with, oh, my God, he just knocked him silly with the microphone. Like, oh, Jesus. Here's what we do here. So that's you know, that's how I felt about that whole thing. And I don't know. I don't know. How'd you feel about that whole end segment?
I thought the fucking ending was fucking, like, it could have been good. It was, you know, a lot of people liked it. But it was Punk's promo that made it worthwhile. You know, the whole Laurinaitis thing was kind of stupid, and he's not good at all. Like with doing like promos or, you know, his raspy voice, you know, he's just not good. He, you know, his role that he does is okay for him, but he couldn't do anything else.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the WWE. Pretty sure that's the whole of it, right? That's pretty much.
That's all of Raw, yes.
Okay. Well, there's that with Raw. What else? I know there was other things.
There's a lot of different things.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think.
Do you want to talk about CCW?
Yeah, I guess we'll get into these two shows that happened over the weekend. I didn't attend them, so I really can't completely review them. I mean, I sort of watched the Evolve show, but I can't really even count that as watching the Evolve show.
Thanks to you know who.
Right. Right. But anyway, CCW, more or less, the things that I thought were going to be good from what the reports are were really good. And some of the stuff that I thought would be bad were even worse. So, I don't know, you got the results in front of you?
Yes, I do.
All right, fantastic.
Okay, so Greg Excellent comes out, starts his day in control of CCW by bringing out his genie in the bottle. It's fucking DJ. And then he says he's going to issue some new employment contracts, including one to himself, where DJ can never fire him. One to Drew Blood, and one to DJ Hyde's first opponent of the evening, Wax. And with an assist from Drew Blood, Wax defeated DJ Hyde.
Yeah, that sounds so exciting. One thing that I could say that I had heard from a friend who's actually, you know, also a huge fan of Wax and stuff said he was hugely rusty. It was a very fast match, but there was definitely a lot of ring rust shown in that one.
Ryan McBride defeated Derek Frazier after Frazier inadvertently hit guest referee Rockin' Rebel.
There's the part where I said that something I thought wasn't going to be any good got a whole lot worse. That's the type of thing I'm talking about, where I was like, well, Derek Frazier and Ryan McBride, that'll be, well, who fucking cares? And then it's like, oh, well, let's interject Rebel. But now I really don't care. Like, if I had any shred of hope for this match, the second Rebel walked out, I would have fucking said I got here way too early. But luckily, I didn't show up. So, yeah. But, you know, there was reasons for that, you know, and everybody knows. And it wasn't just because I didn't, you know, like the show or anything like that. There was definitely things there that I cannot wait to see on DVD. So, yes.
Right. And then in the next match, AR Fox defeated UHA Nation.
Yeah, that should have been awesome. That, from what I heard, was great. And that's one of those matches I cannot wait to see on DVD. So, yeah, I want to see both those guys back on a regular basis. And, yeah.
The CZW World Tag Team title match went to a no contest. After the Runaways interfered in the match with the champions, Bandido Jr., and Azurillos, they took on Blackout.
Yeah, another match that I never knew what they were even going to do with, where I really didn't see any direction coming out of the match. And what did they do? They went right back to the feud that they had with another team, where, you know, right back to the Runaways and Blackout, and Azurillo and Bandido keep the titles and really have no direction to their title run. From the start, when I said that they got the belts, and it was not undeserving because they're untalented wrestlers, because they're both really, really good, but because they had no build, no angle, no gimmick, no following, no anything in CZW, other than like some people going, oh, I know Azrael, oh, I know Bandido, that's cool, oh, that's really cool. But to be like champions, they had no build or no rise in the company in order to establish themselves, so they had some kind of people, some kind of history of who they fought, who they've been, you know, up against. It had no rhyme or reason to it other than to take the belts off of Billy's Most Wanted. And they did that, and that's fine, but they should have been transitional champions and gave it to somebody that were going to do something with it. Like a Blackout, or fuck it, like a Runaways, and then let them feud over the fucking belts. The belts would mean something.
Right, but they don't listen. They don't listen.
But they're, you know, and they'll prolong that in a few months. They'll do that, but in the meantime, they wasted the tag titles for months. You know, and again, not because these guys aren't talented, just because they have no fucking rhyme or reason there. They have nothing written for them. They show up there, and fucking DJ, whoever tells them the match is like, you're wrestling such and such. Like, oh, that's it. Yeah. Just you're here. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sure.
And that's it. You know, it's not like you're going to do this, we're going to set up this, you're going to go out, cut a promo, you're going to set up this, you're going to call out this, you're going to do this. There's nothing to it. They're just, it's just a space filler. It's nothing that they have any thought behind. They have no ambition to push these guys. They just fucking slap titles on them and say, go out there and wrestle. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. Like I said, they weren't fucking over with the crowd. The crowd was not exploding, and to have them as face champions, that's what the fuck the crowd should be doing before you put belts on them. But, you know, maybe that's just me.
Right. In CZW World Junior Heavyweight Champion, Sami Callihan retained against Rich Swann.
Another match I expected to be awesome. I heard it was fucking awesome. So, I can't even comment on all of this stuff that way, but just off of results, but everything I heard was that was definitely a match of the night caliber. Awesome stuff. Obviously, you know, there was some other stuff that, you know, stood out to people and they were talking about, but I definitely heard that the Sammy Swan and the AR Fox and UHA Nation were, you know, top-notch fucking matches that really went out there.
Did the thing. In the next match, in a hard-hitting intergender match, Greg Excellent defeated Mia Yim.
Yep. Sure, that was great. The first one was, so I can only imagine this one was. Very lame and simple CZW reviews for me this month, just because I didn't see it. I can't say that match was shit. You know, I could tell you what I think about the booking, just because, you know, it is what it is, but I can't really judge the match on quality because I didn't fucking see it. So. Another one I'm looking forward to seeing, definitely, for sure.
After that,
next Kingston and him.
No. Danny Havoc came out and brought out the Nation of Intoxication members, honorary Intoxication members, Adam Flash, Homicide, Nick Burke, Nate Webb, Messiah, and the Keg Bear, the Blue Meanie, to say cheers to the arena. Only to be interrupted by the Drew Gulak campaign for a better CZW. After Gulak insulted those in the ring and he insulted Havoc's wife, leading to a fight with all involved, which led to the next match. Drew Gulak wrestled Matt Tremont, you know, targeted his foot, and made Tremont tap. Roy Mondo was out during this match and was calling out Tremont for submitting. Havoc said to the crowd that Mondo and Tremont would finish their deathmatch trial as the two entrants for Tournament of Death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Eddie Kingston defeated Joker.
And, yeah, I heard that shit was hard-hitting. I checked some of the pictures as Lyle took, and I mean, you saw one picture, Eddie kicking Joker clear in the face, and you saw Joker's face taking like a whole different shape as he was getting kicked in the face. So, you know, I mean, that was a stiff match. I mean, just you could see it in freeze frames that they were hitting each other, no bullshit. And I would expect it to be nothing else but that. And definitely looking forward to it. Honestly, overall, you know, I might have some negative things to say about the booking of some of these things on the show, but comes right on down to it. I'm definitely looking forward to see this show. Definitely looking forward to it.
And then for the CZW World title, in spite of dirty tactics and interference from Mia Yim, Devin Moore retained against Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That would have been a big shocker if Cole would have walked out with the belt. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. I'm not really even sure I'm going to watch that match, so.
Wonder. Let's make a bet. How long is the entrance going to be for Devin?
Don't know.
In the main event, in an ultra-violent Icons rules match, current CZW owner DJ Hyde defeated John Zandig.
Because what better to do than to be a heel, own the company, have a one-shot deal with a dude that everybody, you know, is probably one of the most over people in the company's history, you know, in the history of the company. And what better move to do as the legit owner but to put yourself over in the main event? You know, obviously, that's such a great idea in any point in wrestling is to own it and put yourself over in the main event, especially on a big show. Especially on, you know, CZW's last show in the arena, as they call it, or whatever it is, whether it is or not in the future, I don't know. But, yeah, putting yourself over in the main event, that shows a lot of class. So that's what he did. From what I heard, you know, pretty badass shit. Seven panes of glass used. The most that a lot of people have seen in the ring in a CZW match, or, you know, used in a match, I should say. And, you know, again, classic fashion, puts himself over, and then takes the biggest bump of the match after the match. You know, so that way he would have been taking the finish, but it was done after the match, so that way he could still win. And that's top-notch booking there, buddy.
And that was the CZW show.
Yeah, it was. So, yeah, from there on, from there, we evolved. And, oh, man.
Are you sure it was evolved? Are you sure it was evolved, Jay?
It was, wasn't it?
It was the Evolved show, but was it a lot better? Did Evolve, was it better than CCW? We'll have to see.
What are you talking about?
Well, no, because Evolve means to get better and to make, you know, and I'm just saying, did it really evolve?
Well, it also means it's the name of that fucking company.
Yeah, I'm saying, but I'm, you know what I mean?
What am I supposed to call it, something different?
No. I was making a joke.
Oh.
The way it ended, and we'll go over that in a second.
Right. So then, they started off Evolve, and I could at least start off knowing, you know, what happened is they came out with a dude. Larry Dallas came out with a dude, Atu or Atu or something that sounds like
Atu. Yep.
Yeah, this big dude. And they called out anybody, anywhere, anybody wants to answer the challenge, no one wants to, you know, part of this man, this and that, Loki's music hits. Fucking place explodes. Best fucking thing that you could bring into Evolve right now, Loki. He comes in, kicks the living shit out of this guy. I mean, he hit the Cabo kick, like, immediately, like, they rang the fucking bell and the camera was barely on the dude and he just got fucking destroyed with that kick and just laid in the corner like a fucking coma patient for a minute, and then
eventually
got up and Loki finished him with another two moves, and that was it. And then Loki said how he's, you know, he's coming in and he's not going anywhere, and he'll be in Toronto or wherever in Canada, and he'll be in Miami. I think that's where else they're going. I probably just boxed both of those cities, but I don't care. And,
no, I think you're right.
Okay. And so, yeah, that's great. He's in there. And great addition to Evolve. I'd like to see him do a lot of things there. And some good stuff to look forward to there. So then what happened?
Okay. Then Cheech Hernandez wrestled Cloudy, and Cloudy took the – I don't know if you've seen this, but Cloudy went through the ropes, like, for a dive – but he, like, twisted, and Cloudy missed him completely, and he fucking smacked the floor. He was, like, Cheech was, like, right by the guardrails. Cloudy fucking undershot it and fucking went, boom, and you heard thud. And, yeah, that was...
And that was the end of the match, or...?
No, that was, like, in the middle. Cheech Hernandez beat Cloudy with, like... That go to sleep move that he does. The go to Cheech or something. Go to
there
Cheech,
you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next match was kind of boring. I'll say that straight up. It was boring as shit. So skip over it. The scene of Scott Reed and Caleb Conley defeated John Silver and Alex Reynolds. Two guys I've never heard of before the match, and two guys I want to forget about after the match. They were fucking bleh.
Yeah. I have no recollection of this contest.
Jigsaw defeated AR Fox in a very good match. Very good. Jigsaw and AR Fox had some good chemistry in there and tore it up, and it was good. Sammy comes out and has a glass bottle and says, come on, AR Fox, come fight me. I'll break this beer bottle over you like I did last time. Come on. Keeps, like, fucking screaming at AR Fox. AR Fox is about to do a flip off the top rope. Referee's holding him back. Fredo's holding him back, I think. Bunch of people. Sammy fucking goes to the back.
All right.
UHA Nation defeated Pinky Sanchez in one of Pinky Sanchez's matches that he should forget about, because I don't think he was all there for that match.
No?
No. He wrestled like he was drunk.
Huh.
Yes.
Huh.
Just didn't seem... Nah, just didn't seem there. It's all good.
All right.
Chuck Taylor and Rich Swann defeated the Super Smash Brothers in a good match. Kind of went a little too, kind of went long, but it was good.
All right.
John Davis defeated Kyle Matthews in a squash match. In an upset, shocking upset of the night, Bobby Fish defeated Sammy Callahan.
This happened.
It was all right. And in a disappointing finish, an Open the Freedom Gate title match, Johnny Gargano retained after against Ricochet, getting hurt in the process. He's out for several months with a back injury.
Well, I can say off of that, he wrote this whole long thing that I don't have, like, you know, on hand to quote or anything, because I'm not going to just read through that whole thing. But, yeah, some crazy, crazy stuff's going on with Johnny where he was having problems walking, like, barely into the match, and, like, he could barely feel his legs, and he thought he was paralyzed at a point in that match. And he knew, you know, with the stakes on the line and everything, he had to continue, and he's got some serious, serious problems he's dealing with right now, and, you know, best wishes go out to Johnny, and, the kid busted his ass, and, I mean, if you read what his whole write-up on that, go on his Facebook, read the write-up, you'll understand how much he actually had to, like, force himself to get through that match at all in any capacity in order to do what he did. And, of course, the match didn't live up to the standards that you would hope it would. But considering the circumstances, the dude gets all the fucking credit in the world for what he did. And, you know, I wish him a great, you know, fast recovery and all that. And, you know, hope he gets to the bottom of it and, he, you know, ends up okay. Because, yeah, that's some serious shit he was going through out there. Really, really serious shit.
But, like... Like that was the, that was the Evolve 10, and CZW decided they wanted to have the last laugh. So as Extreme Icons, Joey Styles, Pitbull, Gary Wolf, JT Smith, and founder Todd Gordon came out to say goodbye to the arena, DJ Hyde came out, reminding everybody that CZW had more events in the arena. And that is true. And he also came out with Matt Tremont, and the Gulak, Kit Osborne, some other people, and we're talking trash, and that's until New Jack and Sabu came in for the save, and Just Incredible came out, and it looked like he was going to help ECW, but turned and helped CZW, which led to the match between Just Incredible and Sabu.
Yeah.
And, Just Incredible lost to Sabu. Sammy comes in the ring, runs, attacks Sabu, cuts a promo to close the show.
Yeah. I cut a promo saying something along the lines of he's tired of funerals, he's tired of hardcore homecomings or whatever you want to call it, and the era of Extreme is over. And the rant I'm going to go on a little bit later about ECW honestly has nothing to do with that. You know, Sammy did what he did, you know, to cut the promo and, you know, get over that way. And that's great, and, you know, I'm all for it, fully supportive of that. However, a lot of the talk that was surrounding the ending of this, you know, the arena and all that stuff, came right back to ECW, and it... That, as well as a promo that was played during the shows, really just fucking hit my last fucking nerve on that. And I will get into all that, as well as play the promo that was the last fucking straw for me in a little bit. What I figure I'll do now, because Stan should be on momentarily, and then get into the rest of everything else that I got on my mind. February 4th is CZW's next show, and that one is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Man, it just, no matter where I turn, there's another thing that just really fucking keeps tweaking my fucking nerves as far as why some of the shit that I gotta say needs to be said. So, but again, I'm gonna keep fucking delaying it and leading you motherfuckers on because fuck it, that's why. Anyway, you have Nevaeh versus Kimberly. You got Alex Colon taking on the returning Aaron McCormick. Who the fuck is Aaron McCormick?
He wrestled UHA Nation in Philly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that kid's pretty good. Danny Havoc taking on the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. Jake Crist and a mystery partner versus Dave Crist and a mystery partner. Now, I don't know, what is the status of Jake Crist? Because I heard just, I mean, a little over a week ago that he had, like, a bad stinger and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I'm hoping everything's good with him, but I'm not so sure, so I guess we'll have to see. You know, it's still, you know, a week or two, a couple weeks away, but still. And then you got Drake Younger taking on Greg Excellent for, you got the Ego Robert Anthony taking on Scotty Vortex. And you got Sammy Callahan taking on Tommy Dreamer. So, yeah, Tommy Dreamer. That's some talent. That's some serious talent there. So, anyway, that's that. What else do I have to talk about? Well,
Hey, real quick, okay. Can I mention this real quick?
You can mention whatever you want.
April 14, JPW is running... 14th. Sorry. JPW is running a show in Rahway. Yeah, 14. JPW is running in Rahway, but they're running a doubleheader with Chikara now.
Yes. I do believe I will be attending the night show of Jersey All Pro. I do not participate in Shakira events, so I don't think I will be doing that.
You sure you don't like Shakira? Shakira?
No, Shakira doesn't do it for me. I mean, she does a little bit of dancing with the hips and all of that stuff, but, you know.
Hips
the mask,
don't lie, I heard.
Yeah, the masks do, though. The masks lie. So, I think I got Stan on right now. Hold on. Yo.
Yo, what's up, guys? Eric, Jay, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, doing all right. Doing all right. Actually disgruntled the shit this week, but anyway.
You know what it is though? It's good though, because you know you got to get your opinions out, you know.
Well, I figure let's do some news real quick. Just random stuff. That whole SOPA thing. SOPA means fucking soup in Spanish. Stop Online Piracy Act or whatever to everybody else, and everybody's blacking out and acting whatever the fuck. Well, obviously, you know, it's something that's out there, and it's going to, you know, fucking rock the internet if it happens, and they're going to invade all your shit and arrest children for downloading songs and things of those natures. But here's the thing that I have a little bit of an issue with. Every time one of these things come up, whether it's the closing of the arena, whether it's SOPA, whether it's fucking anything, people have this feeling where we're all going to sign a petition and then we're going to get our way. Here's my side as far as this petition shit goes on this topic. I think it's the dumbest fucking thing in the world because we're talking about the government. They're going to do what the fuck they want to do. I mean, you hope that there's someone with some power that's going to put some kind of stop to it, but it's not going to be a bunch of douchebags on Facebook signing a fucking petition and giving everybody... See, it's not going to be that. And my other thing is, all right, everybody signs a petition saying, I'm completely against you stopping us from downloading stuff for free. And then, do you think they don't have a fucking hit list if they make this shit illegal? It's like, oh, I clearly have all these names of people who were really attached to that whole downloading shit for free. Well, let's keep an eye on those guys, and then we'll work on, you know, we'll work from there on out. But I think the people standing on their roof yelling about, I want my free music, we're probably going to go with those guys first. I don't know. That's just me. That was one of the first things I thought when I'm getting all these requests to sign fucking petitions and tell the government you're not going to stand for it. Like, all right, they'll be at your house. I just don't get it. Yeah, they'll shut down torrent sites, they'll do stuff, so there'll be less areas to go and get stuff. But if anything happens, you know, what do you think's going to happen?
Fuck that shit.
Yeah, it's something I don't want to see happen. But
how about Mega Upload? Mega Upload shut down today.
Yeah, Napster shut down a while ago, too. And Brent says I'm stretching it. But I'm saying, like, I'm not saying they're just going to come to your house, but I'm saying they're going to be fucking looking at the computer activity on your shit. If they're going to be looking for people who are doing illegal stuff, the people who are signing up saying, hey, let me keep doing what I'm doing, you know, that's the same fucking people. Like, the same assholes that are going to line up in front of a fucking government office and say, we want our fucking weed legalized, man. You think they might not pull you over on the way home, you fucking idiot? Just, come on, man. Whether you're for it, whether you're not, I don't know. Don't know. So, that's just my opinion. I don't trust the motherfuckers. But anyway,
you can't trust
this?
Suits. You can't trust suits.
Okay. You guys hear about this fucking ship that sank? I thought that was pretty hilarious. You know, people died and that sucks, but this fucking Italian captain is fucking floating his ship back and forth across by the, by the shore somewhere over there and, you know, got way too close. Just fucking dropped the shit in the water. The ship's sinking in. The captain jumps in the fucking lifeboat and gets the fuck out of there. They're radioing this guy being like, yo, come back to the boat. Like, people are dying and we need to, like, count the dead and, like, get all these other people to safety. He's like, I'm not going to come back, man. It's dark out and stuff, so I can't be coming back. That whole shit was amazing to me. It's just like, imagine that shit. It's like, yeah, pilot to passengers, I'm fucking out of here. He was just fucking gone. He jumped in the first lifeboat and fucking left. And they have, like, I guess, I don't know what you would call it, 911 or distress calls or whatever, where they're calling him, like, get back here. And he's like, fuck no. No. So now he's supposedly going to end up in prison for pretty much murder of the five people that died.
Yeah, well, I think I'd rather see the warden than the Undertaker, personally.
Yeah, but there was a lot of people on that boat. Five people died. You didn't. You just got the fuck out of there. It was like, well, fuck them.
Right. Yeah, I think I would do the same thing and take the 15 years in prison. At least I'm still alive.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a certain amount of, you know, save yourselves type shit, but there's also, like, the dude was doing the equivalent of, like, riding back and forth in front of someone's house with your speakers blaring and making your hydraulics go up and down. That's, like, how the whole thing went down. Like, it wasn't like, oh, terrible fucking thing. Oh, the death toll's up to 12. Fantastic. Six are still missing, so, you know, do the math. If it some kind of just tragedy, something happened with the boat and the shit went down, that's terrible, but, like, when you're trying to make it bounce in front of the shore, so, like, hey, look at me, blowing the horn and shit. Next thing you know, like, oh, shit, we're going down. I'm out of here. That's a brave fucking move. Part A and B is quite brave, in my opinion. I don't know. So. yeah. Well. Where do I want to go from here? I guess I'm going to do my, alright, well, as I, as I was leading up to before, the whole show with ECW, Sammy went in there, you know, did the whole, you know, beating up Sabu, and pretty much, like, stood on his body and was like, this is the end of ECW and this and that. The end of Extreme Era is over, blah, 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 blah. Well, I personally have feelings about this whole thing. I thought ECW was cool when it was around. We are going on fucking a long time from then, like 10 years ago. Some of their heyday was almost 20 years ago now. This never stopped getting rehashed, and the continual guys being booked and guys taking the top payday, the top spot in a bunch of different companies, and still, you know, in their own minds and in a lot of delusional fans and promoters' minds, are still being looked at as the hot commodity. And to me, it's disgusting. And here, I'm going to play the last straw, you know, that I just couldn't take anymore. They played this in the arena, and they haven't given up, and it's continuing. So I'll play this, and I'll continue with what I'm saying.
That's right. Yours truly, the franchise Shane Douglas, sort of back in the arena, won last night. Would have loved to have been there with you to share in the festivities, but unfortunately I was previously booked on another great event right here in Nashville, Tennessee with Crossfire Wrestling. Want to send my regrets to the wrestlers, to CZW officials, DJ Hyde, and most assuredly you fans in Philadelphia, because I would have loved to have been there tonight. Tonight might be the last night of wrestling in this arena which you sit. But the franchise says extreme wrestling should always be alive in Philadelphia. Back in 93, when Vince McMahon tried to kill our business once and for all, the band of extreme misfits got together and said, hell no, we won't let you do it, Vinnie Mac. We're
going
to take our business back, blood, sweat, and tears, no matter what you try to do to stop us. And the fans that are sitting right by you right now, saved wrestling along with us. Our wrestling might be done in the arena tonight, but the second revolution is about to start. Don't tell Vinny and don't tell the bimbo. But the second revolution has started. Extreme is back. Philadelphia, Saturday night, April 28th at the Pennsylvania National Guard Armory in Northeast Philadelphia. Sorry, the arena is no longer available, so we'll take the next best thing. Get your tickets now at extremereunion.net. They say the eyes are a window into a man's soul, so look into them close, Vinnie Mac and Bimbo Dixie. You might try to kill our business one last time, and we're going to say, hell no, we will light that torch of the spark of professional wrestling one more time. Save our business one more time. That extreme band of misfits is back together, giving those two jackasses heartburn. You heard it here first. Shh, don't tell them, but the revolution has started again. Ooh, it's going to get extreme.
Okay. So let me get this right. This jackass is cutting a fucking promo talking about how he took the wrestling business back in 93. and now a guy who really hasn't done a whole shitload of ring work within the past, I don't know, fucking 10 years, other than, again, you know, a few indie shows where he popped up and, you know, took the main event money and, you know, went home and no one cared. Or, you know, when he did a little TNA run where no one cared. You know, his fucking heyday was that 93 shit he's still talking about. Not fucking, oh, yeah, remember 5 years ago when I was the shit? Like, no, remember back in 93? Oh, that's great when you took the wrestling business back from Vinnie Mac, who, oh, yeah, owns that company now. You showed him. Don't tell him because he'll take our shit again. You know, that's number one. Number two, ECW at this point, the majority of their workers, they're like washed up actors with a cameo role in a remake of a movie. What's going on? They're like washed up actors with a cameo role in a movie of a remake. only they're getting paid more than all of the stars of the movie. So what fucking sense does that make? And you know, who should feel good about that on a card in a wrestling show? I mean, it continues to be this type of shit, and it's like they almost need to die in order to be ruled out of taking a spot or a payday from a hardworking main eventer on the indies. And it's fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, I can't stand it anymore. It's to the point where I had to really go back and look and be like, all right, let's fucking analyze this ECW elite and go from there. And, all right, well, I mean, you could go all the way back to the initial ECW, but that had nothing to do with what ECW became to mean, because the initial champion was Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and that's not ECW. That's, you know, what led up to it. Wow, someone's drop-kicking their phone.
Eric, you all right over there?
No, sorry, I had a... This phone is falling apart. I had to fucking...
You're in a tunnel? Are you in a well? Should we send Lassie?
No, I'm here. I'm fine.
Oh. All right. So anyway, when it actually became the ECW title was, you know, said Shane Douglas back in that 93 he holds so dearly. And, all right, again, we kind of went over, you know, I kind of went over what Shane Douglas has meant to the, you know, past 20 years of wrestling. And again, back then, he cut good promos, you know, he was involved in matches that, you know, meant a lot to people and stuff. Not so much me, but, I mean, he has a great following, and I can't deny that. All right. Then Sabu took the title. Sabu has been a guy who has done a lot of the crazy spots, done a lot of, you know, super hardcore stuff. But again, another inspirational guy to other people. At this point in his career, see, back in 2001, 2002, I saw him at some indie shows where he blew every fucking one of his signature spots and looked like, holy shit, this guy's going to kill himself. Like, he looked like the greenest motherfucker on the planet, and he was a guy that I could not wait to go see Sabu live. Now, recently I did see him again, and he didn't blow any of his spots, and he's also not selling anybody else's moves. He's just, I don't know, man. He looks like when the cops start beating someone and they're on methamphetamines and they just act like none of it hurts, but they're just fighting their way through it. And that's what Sabu's looking like in a lot of his shit. All right. Well, then Terry Funk got the title. Obviously, you know, Terry Funk, he's a legend, but he was a legend before ECW, and he did shit for years. ECW was just another thing tacked onto his career at that point. Oh, back to Shane Douglas. And that stayed with him for out of 385 days. Then on to, one of the most talented wrestlers ever, the Sandman. Yeah. Let me rephrase that. One of the least talented motherfuckers ever, and he drank beer, and people like to drink beer, so he was popular. I fail to see any redeeming value of the Sandman. I think that legend needs to die right now. I mean, just to kind of take a break from this fantastic list, because I don't want to just read down all of their titles. There was, let me see, before it was deactivated because, you know, Shane Douglas took over the business, and then Vince McMahon put it on Rob Van Dam, followed by The Big Show, who kept it for 152 days. You know, well, there were 33 title changes, so we're not going to go through all that. Somewhere in there was just incredible where, you know, he ended up working at the Olive Garden, in recent memory. Well, anyway, on the 28th of January, the masked maniac, Frank Goodman, the delusional, enormous, guy who used to run shows in New York. He's running a show headlined by New Jack versus the Sandman in a TLC match.
Huh.
That's the main event. Now, again, Sandman. It's fucking 2012, and the Sandman is wrestling a main event on a card. Huh. Not only that, but New Jack. He's retired 10 times. The one thing I'll give New Jack to call him somewhat of a credible fucking wrestler is his fucking high spots, his balcony spots, his dives, stuff like that. When he came into CZW for that Cage of Death, He took a sick fucking dive off the cage. Obviously, his promos have always stood out. Sure, it's cool when he gets super unprofessional and stabs people for real, but that doesn't make you a good wrestler whatsoever. And as far as, like, actual technical wrestling, New Jack has never been a fucking wrestler. So, and he could get mad and go and beat somebody up or stab somebody over a comment like that, but that still does not make you a wrestler. It just makes you a dangerous person that's pretty fucking funny when you get the mic. That legitimately did jail time, and we all believe you. You're dangerous. That doesn't make you a wrestler. So anyway, that's what a phenomenal match that is. And the match that's right below that is the King of Old School, Steve Corino, taking on Balls Mahoney. So yeah, another one. Now, the thing is with this Mass Maniac guy, what he does is he puts on shows like this. He has a internet radio show where he speaks his delusional fucking mind off pretty much weekly. And he'll tell you how I had Raven and Balls Mahoney do a 45-minute match for me back in 98. And, you know, in 2005, I had the Sandman and Raven do a 50-minute match. Who in the fuck wants to see Raven, Balls Mahoney, Sandman, any one of these fucking people wrestle for damn near an hour? What the fuck can happen within an hour of those guys being in the goddamn ring, outside the ring, in the parking lot, up the fucking street? Unless they, like, run to get food for the crowd and then come back, I don't see where a fucking 50 minutes goes by with those guys in the ring. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't understand why these motherfuckers are getting paid like they're getting paid. It's crazy, man. It's absolutely crazy. Maybe I'm fucking wrong. Like I said, at that time, that shit was cool. That shit has been a long fucking time. And now, okay, yeah, fucking Indiana, main event, fucking Sammy Callahan, the fucking wave of the future, fucking tearing through the indies, up against Tommy Dreamer. Oh, the innovator of violence. What violence did he fucking innovate? Oh, that spine buster. I've never seen one of those before. And, you know, again, 10 fucking years ago, still didn't care about Tommy Dreamer. Don't know, man, but he looked pretty fucking rickety and fat the last time I seen him, to the point where WWE didn't even want to use him as a booking agent anymore, and now he's fucking running around fighting indie guys on the main event, and surely getting paid more than anybody else on that fucking card. So, real proud of you guys booking this fucking guy. I don't fucking understand that shit. And the guys who were actual unbelievable wrestlers in ECW made their names other places. They're not even considered ECW wrestlers. Your Guerreros, your, you know, your Mexican wrestlers, your Tajiris, your, you know, all sorts of other guys. Like, these guys ended up being more known for what they were elsewhere. Just because they stopped in ECW didn't make them ECW guys. The ones that are still labeled as ECW guys were the guys that weren't worth shit the second that shit was over. Your Justin Credibles, your fucking Sandmans, your Tommy Dreamers, you made money as a booking agent, but what monumental match has Tommy Dreamer had since the closing of fucking ECW? Even if you want to call his run in ECW monumental or whatever, what fucking matches has he blown the fucking house down? Same thing. Fucking Justin Incredible, fucking any one of them. Please, I mean, someone play counterpart to this fucking argument, because I don't see it, and I don't know.
Well, here's my thing with it, Jay, is you're right. After they got bought out or whatever with the whole WWE thing, none of them went on to do anything. Not saying that any of them would have, because, no, the talent level wasn't really there except for, you know, the handful you named, the Van Damme and some of the other guys that came from Japan or Mexico. One thing that is said, and again, I don't know if it would have done anything, but McMahon, just like the WCW guys, did hold them back when he bought them over because he didn't want to prove that that product was any good. The whole thing with them headlining or main eventing a card is nonsense. The only thing that does play into their favor is it's kind of like when you hear people sit back and go, oh, the Green Bay Packers won the first two Super Bowls. Those are some of the best teams of all time. Bullshit. They came out onto the court right now, or onto the field right now, to get their ass kicked by any team because it's a different era. So, I mean, you have the nostalgic thing, and people do buy tickets to go see that stuff. I don't know if I would go to a whole card of it. I don't know if I would watch another one-night stand with all ECW guys. But you do have the little bit of a nostalgic factor when they do headline some of these cards. Maybe if they, put them in mid-card, you still get the same people to come in, but they do have to promote them to get that fan base. The indies rely on those extra 40 tickets, 50 tickets, 60 tickets that those people might and usually do sell.
But honestly, I think it's unnecessary at this point, especially when the guy went away for that amount of time, and then they end up taking a bigger payday than the guys that they're trying to actually put over and put on the map. I mean, when a guy like Sami Callihan or a guy, Geez goes out there and carries the fucking heel division as far as CZW goes. But then they'll, say they go in there and they bring in fucking... Just say they bring in the fucking Sandman, and now he's fucking Kane and all the fucking baby faces. I bet he walks from that fucking building from 700 to a G, and that shit is completely unfair to the talent. I mean, you had the same type of shit going back in 2001 with CZW, and Zandig actually came out there a couple of months later on the mic and apologized to the fans and the locker room for bringing in douchebags that didn't know anything about the locker room or the people who actually built the company and didn't give a shit about anything but a payday, and everybody had to fucking suffer in the back for the sake of them bringing those few guys in. It's not worth what the fuck it comes out to be. And that's just the way I see it. I mean, guys who have run companies have acknowledged this, but a lot of guys like to take the cheap way out, and you continue to see these guys booked, and I honestly don't think it's that good of a draw. I just don't. Fucking Tommy Dreamer came into CZW in fucking 2001, went to Delaware, wrestled John Zandig, and was fucking completely gassed out after the match, and it was just completely just blown up, and was like, "You are far more hardcore than I'll ever fucking be," and dropped the fucking mic. and now fucking 10 years later, he's gonna go fight one of the fucking fastest moving, hardest hitting motherfuckers and limp his way around the fucking ring there. Like, I understand again, and I understand, like, shit, if John Elway came out of the fucking stands and, decided to throw a football around with a bunch of wide receivers, they'd be like, "Wow, John Elway just threw me a fucking pass." That doesn't mean he shit as a quarterback today. It just, you might be fulfilling a guy's dream for 10 minutes or whatever the case is with the match, but It doesn't make the match credible to fans. Nobody's going to go back and watch that fucking match and be like, "Whoa, did you see Tommy Dreamer and Sami Callihan in Indiana?" Like, who fucking cares?
Well, here's the thing, and to bring it to other sports, like I said, the nostalgic emotion comes out. The Yankees, I'm a big fan of the Yankees. They have, and they're one of the few teams that still do it, but they have Old Timers Day every year on a Sunday. And that game, they sell out like normal, whatever, and there's 48,000 people can fit in Yankee Stadium. The old stadium was 56,000. And right now, last year, 39,000 people came out to watch 60-year-olds play baseball just because they wanted to see them on the field one more time. Now, in wrestling, they don't do it the same way because that's a once-a-year thing. In wrestling, you can go catch one of these guys wrestling anywhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, again, people do want to see it to a point. Is it the right thing? No, probably not. But the promoter and everything is still going to want to get his money. And if, like I said, if that's selling an extra 40, 50 tickets, it's selling an extra 40, 50 tickets.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, well, putting it in that light, it's kind of like, all right, your old-timers say, that'd be fine to get a bunch of old-timers. And by the way, the Yankees do it on, I don't know what day you said, but the TNA does their Old Timers Day on Thursdays. But every Thursday. But it would be like, okay, well, if everybody, got a bunch of old wrestlers together and they just fucking beat the Viagra out of each other in the ring, that'd be one thing. And, and then whoever was down with that type of shit, go ahead. But then, or even if you had fucking young versus old, and that was the whole theme of the thing, not just like part of your yearly events, like your monthly events, and like, oh, and now we're going to throw this in. You know how we were pushing that guy? Well, try to work into your mind that now this old man is going to fight him. And you're supposed to care. You're supposed to pretend like that old man is still fucking 25 years old, and he's hungry. He's hungry now, and he's got a gut that looks like he's fucking plenty hungry, but he's not. He's not for fucking wrestling. And, you know, it's kind of like, all right, well, just go ahead and take out fucking whoever you got over there at first base at the Yankees. And let's put in fucking Don Mattingly, because, shit, we all like Don Mattingly. All right, let's go with that. Now let's go for a World Series run. You know, you'd be like, God damn it, this guy's creaky as shit. What are we doing? He used to be good. I mean, it's Don, but Jesus, now I'm hating him. Get him off the fucking field. You know, he's taking people's popcorn. He still didn't cut his fucking hair. What the fuck is going on? You know, it just...
I agree with you. I'm playing the counterpart end, and that's really legitimately what the counterpart is they want to make a couple extra bucks. Again, it's not the right thing. You're right. But it does happen in every sport. You know, look at the 42-year-old 7-footer that won't leave, and there's a 7-footer in the D League that could probably outplay him, but, you know, the 7-footer in the NBA wanted to stay. You know, has a little bit of the name. Patrick Ewing, when he went down to Orlando. You telling me they couldn't find a better 7-footer than a guy that couldn't barely walk on the court anymore? No, Orlando sucked at that time and wanted to put a couple people in the seats and hope some of the people would go to see Patrick Ewing in his last year.
Yeah.
You know, it happens in every sport, unfortunately. You know, same thing in baseball with some of these guys DHing at 42, 43 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what I have to say about that. I mean, you know, like I said, there's a great amount of talent, you know. The fucking super crazies, when he left ECW, he went to fucking Mexico and tore shit up. And you really don't hear a lot about the guy, but if you go to, like, where he fucking went to work, he's all the fucking buzz. You know what I mean? Like, he went and still tore shit up. But that was what it was, and he continued to work legit fucking wrestling. And again, Tajiri, he went over to fucking Japan. He's like, fuck it, go back to where this shit is what the fuck I am. And that's what he did. And then the fucking hacks, they fucking just floated around and were like, I'm still extreme. Fucking bring this extreme back. And fucking, like, this shit Shane Douglas just fucking cut. That's fucking pathetic. Oh, it's about to get extreme. What the fuck do you know about extreme? Even when Shane Douglas was in fucking ECW, he wasn't one of the fucking extreme guys.
He was
a fucking mouthpiece.
Just regular wrestling.
Huh?
So he was just doing basic wrestling.
Wow. I think this is the first radio show with one of the hosts underwater.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Jock Williams. But, yeah, Scuba Williams. but, yeah, man, I mean, you know what I'm saying, Stan? Like, it's just like they're heading off this fucking thing like, yeah, it's about to get extreme. That's crazy as shit because... I mean, you didn't see any fucking Tournament of Death, King of the Death match, anything over the years where fucking any one of these guys just stepped up into, you know, the hardcore shit and was like, all right, yeah, bring some extreme to this tournament. They were like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want nothing to do with this shit. Fuck all of that. That's crazy shit you're doing. And I understand that, but in the same token, you come back fucking 25 years later and you're like, it's about to get extreme. Shut the fuck up. You about to up your fucking dosage on one of your medications, or what's going on? It's about to get extreme.
Well, again, and I talked about this on the show a couple of weeks ago. And again, it goes into other sports and everything. No, they didn't have the King of the Death matches or anything like that, but you know, it also had to build up to that. And they were the foundation in the United States for barbed wire and thumbtacks and so on and so forth. You know, CZW and other brands brought it a little bit more extreme or whatever like that.
Right.
The fact that Shane Douglas is talking about extreme is a joke because he was never an extreme guy. You know, he'd have a little trickle of blood down his face every once in a while. Tommy Dreamer, you know, back in the day, did do some things, did come up with some ideas. But for them to be trying to recreate that now, and if they think they're going to use the same guys to do it, it's never going to work. It's just going to be a useless waste of time. You know, if
yeah,
they
like
got some guys doing it, hey, whatever.
for an innovator of violence, I'd like to see fucking Tommy Dreamer go up in there against fucking Masada in a gusset plate death match, something that Masada innovated, and let's see what fucking happens when he gets the, you know, gusset plates raked across his fucking back, or, you know, some fucking sticks in the top of his head, all of the shit that has been innovated since, you know, these guys fucking left and just went on to, you know, greener pastures, and, you know, some of them worked. Like I said, Just Incredible was legit working at fucking Olive Garden at one point, or I think he was working at Target at some point. That's
Olive
fine. You know, Olive Garden. And, you know, hey, whatever you got to do to support your family, you know, I'm all for it, but, you know, you're going to come back and do the X-Pac chops and tell me that you're Just Incredible. Like, can I get another order of them breadsticks? Like, I don't know why you're getting so fucking sassy on the mic right now, because I think table three needs a fucking refreshing on their drinks. it's just bothersome. These guys have taken such a terrible fucking turn in life. I mean, you see half of these people getting pulled over every other month with dumb shit in their car, looking homeless on their picks, and then it's like, oh yeah, we're going to fucking take over wrestling again. Like, are you really? Are you fucking really? I said I was going to play it last week, so now I am. I got it into two parts. It's a 10-minute clip, so it's going to be 5 minutes each. And I'm going to play the Warriors' response to Kevin Nash. So we'll play the first five-minute one. You know, we'll talk a little bit in between, and then play the other one. So here goes. He talks a lot of sense, and he says a lot of the same stuff about, you know, and this is the Ultimate Warrior, and he's talking a lot about guys like Kevin Nash taking young guys' spots and how he doesn't respect that. And he responds a lot to, Kevin Nash saying that he wants to fight him in an MMA-style match and for $100,000 and da-da-da-da-da. So check it out.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Warriors, Warrior Man here. Let me respond to the beating frenzy that's taking place out in the digital la-la land. Kevin, it's been a long time, and this is what I've got for you, buddy. You know, it's interesting to me that such a big, strong, powerful, tough guy as yourself is so damn sensitive to some truth. I mean, for years, you and the other guys, you go out there, you make up lies, you tell lies, trying to destroy my reputation, personally and professionally. It just seems like after all this time that you would be a little bit more open-minded, maybe even friendly, to hearing some truth told about yourself. Because the challenge that you offer me doesn't change the truth about what I said. And that's what's most important about this video I'm recording and what I want to say. Everybody in the business, everybody from the top talent all the way down to the ring crew, hell, even the people that work the concession stands at the arenas, they know what kind of two-bit, two-faced, backstabbing manipulator you are. They know what kind of conniver you are. They know what kind of phony motherfucker you are. They know what kind of wicked, nasty, dirty means you will go to hold on to your spot in an organization, holding other young guys down, keeping them from their chance at their own success. Everybody knows, Kevin, that you're a cheater and a thief, afraid to compete on merits alone. This isn't in dispute. Even your friends, those you call your friends, know this about you. Nobody is taking the stand in your defense. The only reason you have a job at WWE is because you've got a good friend over there, your good friend Paulie, one of the original members of the clique. And everybody knows, again, everybody from the top talent to the ring crew, to the people that work the concession stand, they know that he's the same kind of vile, contemptible human being that you are, and that he has operated his life and his business in sports entertainment the same way that you have. that he's envious and he's petty and he's done everything within his means, and he's got some pretty powerful fucking means, I will have to admit that. He's done everything within his means to hold other young, promising talent down, totally just snuff out entirely their chance at having success in the business. I want to correct you about something you said because I want the record to be straight. I don't talk shit about the boys. The young guys, those are the ones I consider the boys. They don't get any criticism from me. They get the level of respect and admiration they deserve as they go about trying to make their own way in a very tough and challenging business. I do, though, tell the truth and call absolute bullshit on guys like you. Guys who have had their time in the business, had their runs in the business, had great success in the business, and are still in the business beyond their time to be there. Hogging the limelight, scheming politically to hold their spot, devouring a huge chunk of the talent budget, and thereby robbing the boys, the young guys, their chance at succeeding in the business on their own, in their own right, by their own merits. And I stand by what I said before. Let me personalize it for you. Pack your fucking gear bag, Kevin. Do the right thing and take your ass home. Now, I went back through the videos I've done over the last few years, a lot of them, not all of them, and I looked at the commentary, some of them that I've, the commentaries I posted and the comments I made, and I didn't find any place where I ever said I had a dream to be an MMA fighter or that I was training to be an MMA fighter or that I trained in the style as MMA fighters do. So that part of your challenge is a little odd and confusing, considering that, you know, because I'm into exercise and fitness for all these years and in a hardcore way, that I am totally aware of the long-term, intense, and disciplined training that goes into preparing for something like that.
Yeah. So that's the first part of it. So far, what do you guys think?
I think Warrior's coming on strong, and he's getting pissed off at Kevin Nash.
Yeah. What do you think, Stan?
No, I think he's right in everything he's saying.
Yeah.
I think he's absolutely right in everything he's saying. You know, certain guys just don't want to pack it up, and certain guys need to know when it's time to pack it up. Kevin Nash can't even walk to the ring, never mind do a match.
Yeah, it's the truth, man. And that's the type of thing I'm trying to say. And I mean, you got other guys that are humble enough that just decided to find another, you know, life for themselves afterwards, like, you know, Warrior. And yeah, he may be a fucking crazy dude and scream at fucking shitty bands and tell them to work out and fucking, you know, legally change his name to Warrior and become a crazy politician and all of that stuff. But when it comes to him talking about the wrestling business, I mean, he's pretty humble about it. And whether he's right or wrong, he does speak the way he feels. And, of course, Kevin Nash has always politicked his way to a fucking top spot. And, yeah, he says what he wants to say, and fucking Nash, yeah, I'll fucking challenge you to a fight fucking any time. Shut your dick, sucker. Da-da-da. Fucking did nothing but challenge him and call him out to physically fight him in $100,000, the MMA style, and like, whoa, where are you even coming from? When did you start with this? So, yeah, I guess, you know, I'll play the second half of it, and then, you know, we'll finish talking about that subject and move on from there.
I mean, let's face it, Kevin. You're in the business that is a work for the same reason that I'm not pounding my chest, cutting Ultimate Warrior promos that I'm the baddest motherfucker on the planet. Because both of us would have our asses completely handed to us by nearly every MMA fighter that is out there on any MMA card. Now, if you're serious that you want to play by MMA rules, I got to ask myself why it is that you're waiting around and you're not doing that. My suggestion would be that you pack your gear bag and go home. And then maybe pick up the phone and call Brock, or call Dana White directly and see if they can accommodate you in fulfilling your fantasy, because I am not by the timeline and the terms that you've offered. Anyway, you know, the saddest part about your offer is, well, the money. I know that that's not a revelation to anybody, because I have a reputation for always being on top of my money or paying particular attention to money side of things. And, you know, there are a lot of mischaracterizations out there about me that will never be cured. But there is one that doesn't exist, and it is that I learned my money business well, and I practice it even better. In fact, you did an interview some time ago where you were complimenting me about that and saying nearly the exact same thing that I'm saying now. So I just wonder how you came up with the silly-ass idea that I would ever be interested in going back to any kind of ring for the chump change that you've offered. Or, if I'm understanding this thing correctly, or that I would put my own money up sort of as an entry fee to participate in an event where only other people are going to profit. And I'm pretty goddamn sure that those other people can't be trusted to begin with. I think the thing to do, based on what you've actually offered, is that you should keep your money, because you need it worse than I do. But if you want to set a date several months into the future, so that I can employ the intense and disciplined training that I'm known for, that I use to succeed in the business at a higher level than any of you guys, and you have some investors who want to put some big money up, and let me be clear about that right now so people don't think that I'm leading them on, let me just say that adding 10 to the figure that you've offered isn't going to buy my interest. If you have investors that can come up with big money to get my interest, I will happily oblige you in your challenge. Happily. One other condition of the deal would be that the negotiations are open to the public, because so they can see exactly what takes place. If that doesn't work for you, then my advice is this. It's best that you keep your distance from me, because if you touch me, different than you may fantasize about, you're not going to enjoy the outcome or consequences. And because you have to work at the job you have, neither are you going to be able to afford them. If you decide not to heed that advice, then you should come prepared to kill me, Kevin, because I will never apologize to you or any man for simply speaking the truth. So there you go, Kevin. I have assisted you in being relevant for the last 48 hours. You're going to have to go it on your own from here on out. In fact, this is the last time I'm ever going to defend myself or defend the better man that I have become in my life to anybody in the business. Anybody in the business today, or anybody in the business that I worked with before. None of you are worth it. And I'm done doing it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a very real and a very wonderful life to get back to.
Yeah. So, in conclusion, I just loved so much of that. And, you know, when he said that straight up, I mean, being as humble as you can be and just saying, yeah, any one of the legitimate MMA fighters would fucking kill either one of us. That's saying that, like, like, dude, not only are you delusional, I'm not saying that I can fucking live in the world that you're talking about that you can't live in. I'm saying I can't either. And I don't know where you're coming from, but shit, if we both had all sorts of time to train and a whole lot more money that's worth doing it, because I don't know when you became an MMA fighter, then, fucking, yeah. Well, I guess. But, yeah, that was awesome. What's you guys' overall thoughts on the whole thing?
Oh, my thoughts on it are...
Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
My thoughts are, again, Warriors had a lot of things that make a lot of sense. They're not MMA fighters. They would get their ass kicked by all of them. He's, what, 53 years old, 54 years old?
Yeah, man.
The only thing is the Warrior kept coming back, too, for a while there in the 90s. So, you know, a little tough for him to say he never, you know, or what Nash is doing is completely, you know, something he wouldn't do.
A couple little attempts at a resurgence, you know, and they were very short-lived. You know this as well as I do. But other than a continuous fucking drain on that. And you can't forget, and it's got to stick in the mind of guys like Warrior and stuff, that everybody knows about the clauses that Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, all through the workings of Kevin Nash and Hall being his buddy, is they had that contract with the WWE, or not WWE, WCW. Nobody could make more than them. If anyone got a promotion that would bring them above them, they would have to match that price. Like nobody was allowed to make more than Kevin Nash and Scott Hall as a, you know, as two people through Kevin Nash's negotiations.
That's crazy.
So,
yeah, you can't fault them for being smart enough to get that.
Well, smart enough or greedy enough, or I don't know how you want to put it. I'm sure there were a lot of guys on the low card that took beatings on their payday for the sake of this guy being a huge politician. I mean, it's, you know, yeah, it's part of the business, but I don't know if you just give the guy, you know, complete respect for being that big of a douchebag because the company really, you know, staked. They put a lot of stake in them and considered them one of the things that they needed in the company. I don't know if I would just consider that completely, you know, to their credit. Sure, for their wallet, but again, just like Warrior's saying, these many years later, and you're still jumping in and you're still politicking your way in and out, Triple H is making you come in and screw CM Punk and that type of thing, you know, to... just get more detailed than what Warrior, you know, actually said. He's still involved in that type of thing. And that's the same type of thing I was against, you know, weeks ago saying about it, is that, you know, CM Punk is making his fucking run. Oh, what happens? Oh, Triple H's boy is going to come through the crowd out of nowhere and boot him in the face. And, oh, Jesus, who made the call? Like, oh, I don't know. None of us know who he's friends with. And then he feuds with Triple H, and now he's out of here, and fuck. I don't know. It all makes a lot of sense to me. And, yeah, everybody's going to give, like, somewhat of a, let's see how far my career can go. But he was smart enough to say, you know, hey, that's it. And I don't think that there's going to be a point where you're just like, okay, this is the highest of my run. I'm going to stop it today and never turn back. Like, it's your bread and butter, but I mean, a guy like Kevin Nash, who was greedy for years, I mean, to just continue to, I mean, I guess it's by character you can expect that out of him, but I also can't respect that out of him.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much that. And, what else do you want to get into? Got a few other things.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yes, yes.
You want to do the Japanese segment now?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Not only do we have one, not two, but three cards to go over.
Well, we don't need three. What do we need three for? Well... What do you even have? Because I
have a Noah card and I have a Dragon Gate card. Two Noah shows from the 17th and the 18th of this month. Oh, and the Dragon Gate show. Now, you know what? I mean, we'll save the Dragon Gate for next week if you want.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go with the two NOAH shows, and you got them up?
Yep, I have right here my hand.
The what?
In my hand. I actually printed out all my notes for this week.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Well, this is Japanese with Eric.
All righty. This is the January 17th show. There was two shows. January 17th, it was NOAH, the first navigation, 2012. La Zona, Kowalski Plaza, Seoul. 230 fans in attendance. First match, Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Genka Ferengi defeated Harlem Bravado and Lance Bravado in a tag match. Ring of Honor wrestlers. With the Shoryu Genba of Ferengi against Lance. Second match, Kotaro Suzuki defeated Masaho Inoue 11 minutes and 39 seconds with a La Maestro. Third match, Muhammad Yone defeated Shui Taniguchi after a muscle buster. It is noted that Muhammad Yone has suffered a nasal injury and will be out several weeks. Fourth, Takeshi Morishima defeated Taji Ishimori after a backdrop at 8 minutes and 1 second. In the fifth match, Wanakima Tushi Oki defeated Kenta Kobashi and Ricky Marvin at 18:13 after an exploder from Akima against Marvin. In the sixth match, the main event, Nayamuchi Marufuji and Takahashi Tsuji and Takuma Sano defeated Go Shizaki with a front neck lock by Tsujiya against Sano. That was a tag match. Alright, and that was the first show. And then the second show is the first navigation with only 230 fans again.
Jesus.
The first match was Nayamuchi Marufuji defeated Masaho Inoue at 7:56 with an inside cradle. In the second match, Wanakima defeated Harlem Bravado at 7 minutes and 5 seconds after a running knee. In the third, Shui Taniguchi defeated Atsushi Oki at 10 minutes and 15 seconds with a superplex off the top rope. Takashi Morishima and Takuma Sano defeated Ricky Marvin and Lance Bravado at 9 minutes and 51 seconds after a Northern Lights bomb on Bravado. Takashi Tsuji defeated Taji Ishimori at 9:56 after an Olympic slam. In the main event, Go Shizaki defeated Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Kotaro Suzuki and Genba Ferengi after the Blue Destiny. And that was that.
Wow. That was both shows?
Yep.
Holy
only six
shit.
Matches each.
Man, that was... But, I mean, you finished that shit, like, on fucking cue for that music ending. That's where I was just like, so that is Japanese with Eric.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Yes. Yeah, man. That was fucking timing right there. I don't know if you worked that shit out previously. I don't trust it. I'm sending you fucking cards from now on. I ain't dealing with this. That was too organized. I like fucking havoc. So... Yep. But, well, the fucking chat room is bugging out saying you went hard with that shit. So. But, yeah, man.
Real quick. Like, you know,
uh-oh.
I don't know if you had something to bring up or anything like that, but CZW has announced their next two shows after February.
Yeah, they have. I have some stuff to talk about that for sure. Fucking cunts.
Fucking Voorhees. What the fuck are they doing in Voorhees?
Jason Voorhees?
What?
Yeah. Camp Crystal Lake. J- Jason Voorhees kills Cena.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Everything cool over there?
Fuck. I was thinking Jason Voorhees was going to kill DJ in Camp Crystal Lake. No?
No.
Oh. Instead, fucking CCW is bringing the February show to Voorhees, New Jersey. Flyer Skate Zone. So apparently we're doing... tomorrow, my girls are going to Disney on Ice. And then in February, we're getting CCW on ice. Imagine. Imagine the slipping and sliding, and oh, what fun we'll have. Won't be any glass, won't be any barbed wire, won't be any blood, probably no cussing. However, we will have ice. We will have ice. You bring the drinks, and we'll put them on ice. I don't know, man. I don't know. Could be the future.
Could be the future.
CCW on ice. CZ effing skating. I don't know, man.
You're excited for that. I know you are.
All I gotta tell you is they better fucking book the shit out of this card or I'm coming nowhere near fucking Voorhees, New Jersey. I don't know where the fuck that is. I don't give a fuck. And unless they book the fucking shit out of this card, I ain't going nowhere fucking near it, and I'm sure a whole lot of other motherfuckers are already committed to not going nowhere near that fucking show. It's going to look like a fucking, oh my God, it's going to be a small motherfucking attendance, I can tell you straight up, and they need to book the shit out of the show and fucking try to draw towards going to an outside fucking venue, so they really, really need to fucking do that. So, Stan, have you ever heard of Voorhees, New Jersey?
No.
Right. Yes. That's where they'll be in February. Yep.
I'm going to find out how far that is away from
I've
you.
Actually heard of it, but I have no idea where it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out right now for you how far it is from you.
Well, the Flyers Skate Zone is where it's going to be held, and apparently that's where the Flyers and, you know, for those who don't know, including I barely know, that's a hockey team out of Philadelphia. And
it's got to be close to Philly.
And they go there to skate and hang out and you know.
And practice. It's an hour and 23 minutes away. It's an hour and 23 minutes away from you, Jay.
Is it?
Yeah, an hour and 23.
Well, that's not bad. I can kind of go for a shorter trip, but still. Still, is it all in like a big circle and they skate around to jam on it and stuff like that, or... Or what is it? I don't even know what they do.
What's it called? What the fuck? Right, who's thrown there? Some pro.
The
fit,
Flyers?
Some Fed used to run there. I'm going to say Force One ran there.
Oh, that's...
It looks like it's just outside of Camden.
Oh, that's great. That's a great area.
Well... I mean, not right out of Camden, but...
It's near Cherry, kind of near Cherry Hill.
Straight out of Camden. Okay. Now, will the Flyers hang out there? It must be awful light.
Are you saying something about
hockey? Not a sport that I'm a fucking fan of, and a lot of the people that I, you know... have hung out with don't know much about hockey either. I'm just, you know, making a generalization.
Nice goal, eh?
Hey. Fucking A, eh? But, and then the next one, they're going to be,
The 10th of March.
Yeah. The March show. Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting an update. Nina's telling me Lucy the Weimaraner was adopted to a family in Voorhees. So now I know exactly what goes on there. All right, then. So anyway, the next show is going to be in a gym in Northeast Philly. And that's that's what's happening there. Don't know where the fuck that is. Apparently G's works out there. He informed us that the owner is very racist and he's an asshole. So again, it just seems like they're really targeting towards the white audience at this point, and I don't really think that I appreciate that as a white audience member. I don't feel like they need to go that far for the white man. I think we were fine in South Philly. I was a happy guy. I like the mixed crowd. I like everybody to be welcome. And now I hear we're going to hockey arenas. We're going to somewhere with a Klansman at the helm. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this. You know? So, fuck. Fuck. I mean, they better book these fucking cards up to make it worth going, because I don't know. You're really sending me into fucking really strange territory at this point, and we're going to have to see, because I don't know shit about these fucking joints. And I'm not that comfortable with just taking a random-ass fucking... I just want to... It's like fucking... Like that weird New Jersey shit where you just look in the magazine and just show up random places. I've heard about it, but I've never been down for any of it. Like, I'm just going to fucking show up. See what happens. Never been there before. Can't wait. Like, I'm not that fucking... I'm not fucking Dora the Explorer. I'm not just looking to fucking show up in random towns with a fucking strange-colored monkey and just be like, all right, let's... We're on an adventure. I don't give a fuck about that. I really don't. I'm not crossing the fucking river with a backpack. Fucking, nah, fuck all of that, okay? So, you guys better lock in, find somewhere that's going to be your fucking home, make sure you can do all the shit that fucking CZW does, try to make it a comfortable place for the fucking fans, and lock in, and let's book these motherfucking cards up, because the last thing you want to do is run a bunch of weak cards right now, because you're not going to draw the fucking fans over to a new joint on that type of shit. So the only thing booked for fucking February at this point is Drew Gulak taking on Devin Moore for the world title, and I don't give a fuck. So let's start with that, and then let's build off of that, okay? Let's build off of that. Anniversary show in Jersey, where you ain't running shit for hardcore. So that's a good way to start. That's a good way to start. Let's get this off to a bang. Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah.
But do you think they will come back to South Philly?
If they're fucking smart, but I don't know where. I mean, what, is he just going to run outside shows in the rape lot? I don't know.
Yeah, but now, I don't know Philly like that, and maybe some of your audience has ideas on Philly. Don't they have an arena football or indoor football or whatever the hell that is anymore? The Philadelphia Soul, and don't they have a minor league hockey team in Philly? Like, they got to play in the smallest arena.
No, they do not. They're moving everything to fucking Allentown, PA.
What's the Philly Phantoms?
They're coming to Allentown. There's no more Philadelphia Phantoms. They got rid of the Spectrum.
That's Eric's town. Eric requested more sports in his town,
so they
decided they're moving it all to his town.
And Philadelphia Soul are moving to Allentown also?
What was that?
The Philadelphia Soul are moving to Allentown also?
No, they don't have. They're running out of the Wells Fargo Center, the Wachovia, or that the where the Sixers play.
Yeah, CCW is not running where the Sixers play. I'm sorry.
I honestly thought they had a smaller arena because that indoor football gets, like, you know, almost the same amount as the CCW crowd, and so would the minor league hockey. That's why I was asking. I thought they had, like, a little shithole arena.
DJ versus that stupid fucking bunny fucking panes of glass death match. That's what I say. Fucking no rope, bunny wire. Fucking.
Can't they rent an abandoned warehouse?
There's no abandoned warehouses in Philadelphia. They're a thriving city. You don't see a single window busted out coming over that bridge. I don't know where you're talking. What city you're talking about? This is the city of brotherly love and no homo. I don't, man. I don't fucking know what they're doing. I know it's not easy. I don't want to just sound like a douche and be like, get a building where you can do everything and make me happy. It's not that easy. I know it's not. I honestly know it's not. But when it comes right down to it, that's kind of what it's going to take to get me there every month. Sorry. Fucking been going for 10 years, and, you know, now it's becoming hugely inconvenient. And we're fucking going to places where I know they can't put on shit that's going to make me happy. And it's not just death matches. It's honestly not. You know, it's a variety of wrestling styles, and death matches being one of them. That is part of CCW's identity. It's not, I don't need fucking Tournament of Death in Philly every month, and let's be fucking real, we haven't got that. So it's not what I'm fucking looking for, but yeah, the upper part of the card needs to have a death match on it, I think. I think Night of Infamy was a bad move to not have a death match on it. That was a show that was started off with a death match as its main focus. That was a bad move. But the anniversary show for a CCW show, to not have a death match on it, pretty bad fucking move, in my opinion. I don't know. I mean, maybe you guys could pull out, like, a tremendous amount of crazy fucking floor bumps or fucking height bump, or I don't know, you fucking do a triple axle on the ice into a DDT. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do. But you guys really got your fucking work cut out for you with the shit that's going on here with the booking and these new fucking buildings and all this stuff, and it damn sure ain't going to be the same, so... I don't know. It's just the shit I'm seeing.
We just hope for the best, you know?
Oh, yeah. It sounds so much fun. So much fun. So, what else we got?
We also have two Ring of Honor shows to talk about, which are this weekend.
Okay. I'm not sure about them.
I have both cards.
It's a new Briscoe promo or something, but I don't.
You don't have a Briscoe promo? No?
Oh, yeah, we didn't even touch the other sensitive subject.
Oh! Allentown's
what?
Allentown's far away.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. It is,
two and
I'm
half
not
hours.
Going there.
It's actually close. It's not bad for me, but it's far for you.
Yeah, I'm not going to Allentown. I was telling people on the Facebook last night, I got into like a 43 comment fucking post off of me talking shit about that whole thing. And, Eric,
all I really know about Allentown is, two things. We had a real big building with DHL out there, and it was on like, I don't know, CBS's news when we shut down, and Billy Joel wrote a song about how bad the town sucks. That was about all I really know.
Oh, no, where's the DHL place? Where's the DHL?
Yeah, there was a big one in Allentown. I don't fucking remember. I never went there.
I live like fucking... I'm fucking in Allentown like every other day.
I don't know. There's a big yellow fucking building out there. Go search
for
it.
They probably got rid of it. All I got to say, it's so depressing. I went to go pick up somebody over the other day, and I drove right past the fucking place, and I'm going to say it right now, like... You're going to hear me rant in a couple months when this fucking thing comes in town, because that is a fucking traffic nightmare.
What
because
did you
it's
drive
right
past?
In the center of it's right in the center of the city.
Yeah, but you're from Allentown. Traffic to you is like six cars in front of you at a red light.
Yes.
Philadelphia is worse. Philly is 10 times worse.
Well, yeah.
Let me just say that.
And that's nowhere near North Jersey or New York. Nowhere near.
Like, I've driven down Main Street for 45 minutes to get fucking three blocks, and I really don't bitch that the traffic's bad.
You pretty much park in the middle of the road, come back, and, like, someone just started beeping at the back of your car.
Yeah, you can stop get yourself a pack of smokes and a drink before work on Main Street in Woodbridge and pretty much have no issues just stopping dead stop there.
So, yeah, the one thing I did not talk about yet, especially since I heard that my supposed friend took such a different fucking stance all of a sudden is...
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah. 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 So, of course, everyone knows the reason I did not go to CZW on Saturday was to watch the fucking epic fucking battle between my 49ers and the New Orleans Saints, and might I fucking say that it's been the best playoff game that this NFL has seen this year. I don't think a lot of people are really going to say anything different than that. Honestly, most of the playoff games have been blowouts and everything else, and, you know, we fucking fought and scrapped and fucking, with Drew Brees still putting up 400-plus passing yards, we still beat, in my opinion, the scariest team in the NFC, and again, put a big stamp that said, we are for fucking real. Who's got it better than us? And the answer is nobody, because all through the season, the answer was Green Bay, man. They didn't lose a game yet. Fucking who the Saints? Fucking these guys. Fucking that guy. Fucking answer is nobody. And now we play the Giants, a team we already beat. A team that, yeah, they beat the fucking Packers. But I was watching Inside the NFL last night, and, you know, fucking one of those touchdowns, the Packers, or the Giants threw, I don't know, maybe 10, 15-yard pass. Well, they turned that shit into 60 fucking yards because the first guy that hit him lazy tackled the shit out of him, and he spun off of him, ran for another 40-something yards. 60-something-yard touchdown run. That was one of the Giants' big scores in the game. That is something that will not happen in San Francisco. We hit motherfuckers with purpose. The reason why the fucking first drive that the New Orleans Saints put down came up and looking like a coma patient is because we hit motherfuckers. That's what we do. We don't have the best quarterback in the league. You know who the best quarterbacks in the league are? They're sitting on their couch this week. And they're fucking watching the games, and that's fucking Aaron Rodgers, and that's your fucking Drew Breeses. And that doesn't matter. You don't. The best quarterback just isn't going to get you a bye to the Super Bowl, and bye to the Super Bowl for you motherfuckers, because as far as I'm concerned, we're in San Francisco. We've fucking proven every fucking thing we can, including beating the Giants this year, and I don't know what excuses are going to... I've seen them and all of that stuff, and I've seen all the excuses, and I've heard all of it, and I've heard enough, and I've had enough of the Giant motherfuckers, and I've had enough of everybody in the fucking NFL, because this is our fucking game at this point. We've played our game to this point, NFC Championship game, we're there, and guess what? They're calling for fucking rain in San Francisco on Sunday night. That kind of breaks it down to a running game, doesn't it? Wow. We have a pretty tough run defense, if I do say so myself. And to top that, Jerry Rice just calls Brandon Marshall kind of soft the other day. So, whatever, get fired up, come at us. You know who the fuck I got in that game. Go ahead, guys.
I got motherfucking 49ers, baby.
Hey, Stan.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
How you doing? How you doing?
All right.
Cool, man. So, I don't know. How you feeling about that game?
Oh. Well, here's the thing. I sat long and I hate the... I don't like the Giants. I don't like their fans. I've said it many, many times.
Oh, yeah.
I've thought about it. This is like the worst Final Four I can ever imagine.
Yeah.
On one hand, I got the 49ers. If you guys win a ring, that's six. Doesn't make my team six that special anymore. Fuck you guys.
Yeah. Well, you know.
If you're
we stood neck and neck for so long, and everything was good, and you guys came out of nowhere, and oh, man. Boy, oh boy, did we. But go ahead.
Then you got the New England Patriots. I still remember 16 years old watching a game that you could barely see on TV and the fog was so thick. Drew Bledsoe somehow throwing passes still and the Steelers getting upset by the Patriots in what they call the Fog Bowl 2. Broke my heart for the first time as a football fan. Really, really broke my heart. I can never root for the Patriots after that. Fuck them. Then you got the Baltimore Ravens.
there's not much.
And you normally love them.
Yeah, fuck them. So at this point, I gotta be a Giants fan for the next, you know, hopefully 3 weeks. I gotta say I'm all in. You know, I work up over by Hoboken where Eli lives. I brought him a bowl of soup today to hope his tummy got better. You know, got to make sure my quarterbacks are right for the game. Got a long trip out there to San Francisco. You know, go big blue.
Oh, you know what's funny? The other day, he just got stuck in like a huge stomach ailment, and he actually sat out half the practice. I forgot to add that. So maybe your soup didn't. Oh, you said today.
No. That's why I brought it today. I thought he maybe had a little case of the flu, so I took a ride up there, gave it to the doorman over there at 1500 Washington in Hoboken.
Good. I hope you didn't wash your hands after you shit and you gave him some E. coli or whatever you get from eating shit. And I hope that's what Eli shows up to San Francisco with. But either way, we don't need that type of, you know, thing. So go ahead. Soup and all.
Yeah, soup and all.
Soup to nuts.
You know, my homeboy Victor Cruz has been a little quiet lately.
Oh, your homeboy. I don't hear about your homeboy all year.
Biggest Giants fan you ever met right here.
I know. With all the dancing he does. Yeah.
You just
picture yourself as a sexy Latin woman every time he scores a touchdown, does that little shimmy.
Every time me and him salsa dance together in the end zone.
Yes. Yep. That's the one.
And
Latin day at the club, baby.
I'm a big fan of that JPP character. You know, he's down with JPP and that whole thing they made.
Yeah, you know
JPP.
Stan. Yeah.
Yeah, you know me. Hell, I like that OCU Manure character. Big fan of his. I get very upset when people call Brandon Jacobs Brenda. I don't like it. You know, he can run people over every once in a while.
See, like Jerry Rice called him kind of soft.
No, that was very nice. And Joe Biden, the Vice President Joe Biden, was in San Francisco and guaranteed the Giants were winning the Super Bowl. And how can you go wrong with a politician saying it?
Oh.
The only problem is I think he got a little confused and thought it was the San Francisco Giants he was talking about. And kind of fucked up. But still.
There you go. So you're going with the Giants.
Listen. I love Michael Strahan, Phil Sims, big fan of his.
I think the gap in Strahan's teeth is getting bigger by the week. He's got like a reverse retainer. Like every time I go, hey man, maybe we should stop talking about his gap, and then he talks, and I'm like, Jesus Christ! It's like he keeps taking teeth out or something. Like, I don't know. Oh, look,
if I was a 16-year-old hooker, I'd be all over LT. That's how much of a Giants fan I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go Big Blue. Go Big Blue.
Yeah.
Big Blue Wrecking Crew.
So are you going with the Niners? Is that what you're saying?
No, Giants fan all the way, baby. Since birth. Born and raised. Giants fan.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we have the Baltimore better than the Steelers Ravens and with the New England Patriots over there. And, they beat a guy... This guy named Tim Tebow stomped another team. I can't remember. My memory's not that great, but they beat the living shit out of Tim Tebow this past week. And
I think that team that you're talking about is that the that's the Steelers. That's that team out in Pittsburgh. Right?
I can't recall. I can't. Like I said, my memory's a little hazy, but what I can say is, you know, my friend Joey Numbers over there at the Wrestling Soup said, if any of the ladies out there wanted to participate with him in a gonzo porn, he would dress up in a Tom Brady jersey, and the lady would dress up in a Tim Tebow jersey, and he would fuck her relentlessly for 80 minutes. That's a fair bet, you know? That would sound about right, because that's pretty much what happened. So... But anyway, Baltimore, New England, it's going to be a tough game. Tom Brady shows up as two different people this year. Personally, I I got to look at it from my perspective and what I want, and not even so much who I think we can beat. I do think Baltimore is more dangerous than us. Well, not than us, but to us. I think a rematch does favor us. But, you know, as a team that did beat us before in defensive chess match, it's a dangerous game for us. And, again, we're not there yet. But do we face them in the Super Bowl? I would love to face New England. I think we would make Tom Brady look like a bitch. I really, really think that we would dissect that offense. And that defense is so easy to fucking pick apart. It's really, really not tough. It's really not. They have a very soft defense. I've heard several New England fans throughout this year picking their own defense apart, saying, our defense looks like shit. Our defense looks like shit. Man, Tom didn't look like himself today. And then a couple of games later, it's like, yeah, Tom killed it. But they're very inconsistent. It's not the Tom Brady that was winning Super Bowls. I would fucking take a big performance out of Tom Brady and then fucking give me him. So I'm going to go with New England. What are you going with, Eric?
Going with Baltimore. I just think Baltimore, I don't know, I could just see it now. I don't know. I just have a weird feeling about Baltimore.
They don't have the scoring power, but they do have the defense. So we'll
they have a great defense, and, you know, it'd be good for Harbaugh to get to the Super Bowl. It'd be good for both Harbaughs to get to the Super Bowl.
Harbaugh. Yeah, they called it that when they played in the season. Imagine if it ends up in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm on Thanksgiving, you know?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for giving us that loss, you douchebag.
There's always revenge, though. You got to think about that one.
There sure as fuck is. And, Stan, what do you got for that game? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was watching my favorite team videos on YouTube. I apologize. I took you off mute.
What were you watching?
My favorite team's videos. I was down with JPP. I just got done. They remade Black and Yellow to Blue and Red. That was good. That was fantastic.
That shit doesn't even sound good in the chorus, but okay. Blue and Red. I don't know.
Imani Toomer had a nice message to us Giants fans. Good stuff like that I was paying attention to. You were talking about another game that's played. There's another game Sunday?
Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens are taking on the New England Patriots. And, shit. Someone's got to play us in the Super Bowl.
Well, I think the Giants have a better chance against New England. I think the Giants can go out there and beat New England. You know, back in 07, one of my favorite years of my life, I was sitting here and David Tyree, I mean, I almost brings a tear to my eye thinking about the amazing catch he made against New England. I mean, you guys remember that catch, right?
Yeah.
But when he caught giant balls on his head, yes.
Yes, when he caught the giant balls on his head to win me my, I think third Super Bowl. It was just an amazing moment as a lifelong Giant fan to be able to watch that. I mean, Eli broke away from the grasp of the defense and went out and just David Tyree. I mean, just the name, just every time I say it, I get choked up.
Giant balls on your head. Every time you catch giant balls on your head, you must think of him.
I've never really caught the giant balls on my head. You know.
You're like, well, man, Tyree, baby. Go ahead.
I mean, I guess I like the Patriots so we can go out and beat them one more time, beat Tom Terrific. You know, when the Giants go to the Super Bowl. Just amazing. What a team, these Giants.
Oh, what a team.
I love going back and rewatching that. I might even post it on Facebook for everyone. Let's go, Big Blue.
Well, for all the Giant fans out there, I...
none bigger than myself, let me just tell you.
Right, well, I'd like to send this message for all of you that I would sincerely hope that you all go blow an avatar with the Smurf up your ass. And, you know, that is what I hope. That is what I sincerely hope. And then I would also say for my other friend out there that, you know, Homicide, I think after this game, Homicide is going to, he's going to enroll in Police Academy, he's going to graduate Police Academy, and he's going to cop kill himself after this game. That is just my own prediction. I could be wrong. Homicide has his own views and his own goals in life. That is just what I see. You never know. You know? Oh, man, Juan is hating you. Oh, man.
No. Who's he hating?
You.
Why
you,
Dad. Why? What's the matter, Juan?
I don't know. I'm trying to get him to call. He keeps just posting in the chat. He's like, Eric, I don't even hate you no more.
Cool.
He was hating Eric for fucking most of the year just for the sake of him going against the fucking Eagles once or twice. And I don't know, man.
That's
but yeah.
What? Juan's awesome. I love Juan.
All these people I keep seeing, you know, fucking running around in blue around this bitch, I feel like becoming a blood and start shooting. I'm just fed up with all this blue, 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 big blue, blue, blue. See, I went out and
bought my seventh shirt that has ELI in capital letters with ET or
and it wraps all around the back with eyes.
Yeah.
Right.
No. Listen, ELI is elite. It's ELITE. The T is a little smaller. I got one for each day of the week now.
Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
That's right.
That's great, man.
Should I bring
know,
out the Navarro jersey or the Carl Banks jersey for Sunday?
The what?
That's the question. The Navarro or the Carl Banks?
Well, both of them are losers, so, I mean, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you can pick, you can go alphabetically or whatever. Hold on. I got Juan real quick.
Oh,
Juan!
What's up?
Yeah.
Fuck you, hey! There you go. There you go. I like.
Really? Come on, like, you think the Giants are really going to win?
Listen.
They're going to choke. That's what they're known for. They're going to peak, then choke on a fat one.
Sometimes you're blinded by the love of your own team.
It's okay.
You know,
Juan, give it to him.
I think the Giants are going to go out to San Francisco and... you know, do what they've done.
Dude,
before.
You're going to be in San Francisco. You know that, right? And it's going to rain. You can't
throw.
Right.
I have plenty
of the thing
of
is, Eli is known for choking at the end. Like deep throat choking. Like gagging.
Well, so is Stan. I mean, you know, for the right price, he's, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Stan, he said that 07 was a great year because that's his first hand job he gave to another dude.
Go ahead, Stan.
Listen, I've never given a hand job to a guy. Besides myself. Juan, don't be disappointed because my Giants are in the playoffs.
It's okay.
You're a Giant.
My Giants are showing the NFL what it's like when a team comes together at the end, just like 2007, and gets ready for the playoffs, while your Eagles are sitting at home making plans for next season.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. You're right. Well, you're not going to choke, though. It's okay. Not this time.
That's what Eli's known for.
That's what he's known for. He's known for choking, like,
ooh, no.
Then you see him in the field, head down, closing his eyes, like, man, I fucked up again.
Crying.
Yes.
Ely, baby. Ely.
Like, man, I fucked up again. Like, what the fuck? And here's the bitching coach. Your coach, bitch, yo, your coach throws that fucking flag like 8 times just to challenge everybody.
That's great.
Referee walks the wrong way, he's a challenger. Like, what the fuck? Really?
We have now set in 100%. It's your coach, then. Your coach keeps throwing that fucking flag. Hey, man, I see that flag come out one more time. Little red flag. Stand.
He wants to challenge shit. Like, yo, the referee walks the wrong way. Like, he's fucking up.
Do not disrespect the almighty, the best coach in NFL history. Turn your head and Tom Coughlin. Do not disrespect Tom Coughlin.
Turn your head at Tom Coughlin. Every time you throw that little red flag, you're rooting for the Niners. That's all I got to say. Done.
We turned to blue for this week. We turned to blue. We went to the NFL. We said we need a blue flag.
Yep.
What? That's serious.
We haven't
talked in a while. Like, are you serious?
And we don't like that call.
The fucking guy, like, you see a referee walk the wrong way, he's going to challenge that play.
That's right.
The fucking ball didn't even play yet. He's going to start challenging plays already.
Juan, you're Puerto Rican, right?
Yes.
So you, me, Victor Cruz, salsa dancing this Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not salsa dancing with no other dude. So yeah, yo, for real, I think Stan got some sugar in his tank, man. Like, salsa dancing, hand jobs, and loving his coach. He said he loves his coach.
The Giants are like the NWO, and they're too sweet, you know what I mean? And that's what Stan's with.
It's a lot of splendor.
It's splendor. What can you do?
Yo, seriously, I've seen that coach call play when a fan, like, when got some popcorn and shit, he threw a flag on that one. Like, come on, man.
Aren't you guys all cousins? Like, aren't you Victor Cruz's cousin?
Oh.
Nah, we're not all related.
No.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I got confused. Here's what I know.
You know what I hate about Giants games? Because they're the fucking longest games on TV because damn
coach.
We'll
make it quick. We'll make it quick. Don't worry about it.
Please don't let that fucking coach throw that red flag. Don't step the wrong way or...
Red flag, Jesus.
Because that's what he's known for. Oh, look. No,
you can
I don't like that. We're running
on
field.
Interject, and I'm on your side in saying the Giants are going to lose, but they only get 2 red flags per game, so I don't know how upset you are in those 2 calls, but I'm saying, like, I think they get a third one if they get one right. Yeah, but he was right if they get 3. So, Jesus. You know, well, besides all of that, Juan, you know, we got you to call in and all that. We've touched a lot of topics on this show and stuff. Is there any other things you want to chime in on? Because, you know, we...
Yeah, all right, listen. Okay, now we're talking about the whole fucking... Since ZZ don't have
a
UCW
fan.
What? What'd you say?
I said, you know, I know you're a huge ECW fan, and, you know,
listen. I am, all right, but that died out when they had, the one-night stand, the first one, like, in 05. That was it for me.
But Shane Douglas said that they're bringing Extreme back now.
All right, listen. It's not back. It's just the people in
wheelchairs.
It's in April.
In April it comes back. I
fucking
think.
God.
In April? Or March?
All due respect, but let's let it die. I agree with New Jack. Let the fucking thing die. Who cares? You can't say ECW no more. Extreme Reunion.
It's funny how you agree with New Jack, because he's one of the fucking cancers to the business that are making this shit continue.
He's trying to stop, though. He's calling his ass. Like, he's put a video out there. Listen, Shane Douglas called me. He said, we're having a reunion.
He's probably lying, and the fact is he's working the Sandman on Frank Goodman's show in the end of this month.
Honestly, I'm tired of ECW. Like, seriously. It's all due respect. I grew up with it, watched it, whatever, went to their shows. That's it.
I was a fan back then, too. That was
I mean, they came to Trenton. I saw
I used to like the Ninja Turtles when I was a kid. That doesn't mean that shit flies with me now. You know?
I'll let the shit go. Fuck it.
Fucking action figures. And you know what I mean? I used to...
Like Montana the Rice.
What XPW is doing. They go to Mexico. They change their name.
What's that?
You used to like Montana the Rice, but it's over. It's done. Sorry.
Oh,
yeah. They packed in a fucking handful of Super Bowls. That's all I need them to do for me. Shit. What more can you ask for a fucking team of guys?
No, for me, terrible I think example. They should let that shit go. That's it. Not talking about combat zone and shit, but they're coming to Jersey. Coming to Jersey. All right. Voorhees, New Jersey.
Coming to Juan's house in Jackson, and no, fucking Voorhees, New Jersey. Do you know
dude,
where the fuck that is, Juan? Other
yes,
than
I do.
Googling that shit.
I do.
You
I do.
Been there?
I do. I know where it is because I was gonna get married there, but
what the fuck would make you want to get married in Voorhees, New
you
Jersey?
You were gonna get married there, then you realized there was a hockey rink, and that probably wouldn't work out too well.
No.
You're like, we'll fall on our ass with all these
hockey rink there because the Philadelphia Phantoms would go there and shit.
But when you realized that the dress shoes would slip on the ice, is that when you decided to back out of that venue?
Yeah.
I wouldn't blame you. But CZW on ice, I think, is a fantastic fucking idea.
They could have ice skate death match.
The fact that DJ can't work a fucking match in shoes is fucking so much potential for him on skates.
Seriously, like, DJ is like, he has a dry personality. Yeah, I think he types like 5 miles an hour, too.
No, he oozes fucking machismo.
He types like 5 miles an hour. It's like, I can run back to the bathroom,
but
cook something real quick.
But when he talks, he looks up into the sky because he sees something that you don't. His eyes wander. Like, he watches his back while he's talking to you. Like, you could see it all the time. Like, he's just like, who's coming? Who's coming? And you keep waiting for a run-in that never happens, but he's always ready. He's always ready. You cannot jump DJ. You can't do it because his eyes see behind him. He's like a frog.
So I think we should hold a... They should hold a fucking event at your house with ducks and everything and a cage of death. That's it.
My house with the... Not cage of ducks.
Yeah, the cage of ducks.
Yeah, that's... No. We're not cage of ducking. We're...
Come on,
no,
man.
No,
I'm trying to challenge your fucking ducks that day and bang go down because someone said no.
Hey, you want to challenge a couple-pound duck? I mean, that clearly shows your status as a wrestler. Step your game up, you know?
That dude had an afro. Fucking duck had an afro. 300-pound
Juan. Come on.
Fucking duck had an afro, so I took that offensive.
Well, here we go with the racism again. You know? That's why you're okay with the hockey arena. And I was kind of against it earlier. It was too much of, you know, we're going towards that type of thing, and then you're like, well, I hate
that. Yeah, honestly, that's far as fuck, dude. It's like an hour or something from here. So that's probably like close to 2 hours from you.
Hour and a half. 25 minutes. I did the research.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Speaking of ducks, my Giants are going to be intercepting duck passes from Alex Smith all day on Sunday.
Well, Alex has actually been used to his strengths and hasn't been throwing duck passes. Unlike a certain stand and throw quarterback that got, Ben Roethlisberger. I know it's not your team, Stan, but I figured I'd bring that up.
That's why they like Peyton better anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe they said on TV that Peyton's the better brother, not Eli.
I would agree with that until this year when his fucking neck is broken and his career might be over and they're picking another quarterback over him. And then Eli is going to the championship game. I hate to play devil's advocate for the Giants, but Eli kind of has a little bit of a fucking case.
Listen, the big blue bandwagon has some room on it. We're slowing down. We're coming past Lacey County.
Hey, Stan, I'll pee in your face.
What happened?
Listen, I already told you, motherfuckers. I don't know why you don't have an Avatar's dick in your mouth and a Smurf in your ass yet, but that was my suggestion.
No,
guys,
man,
like
really,
blue so
Stan,
much.
I'll pee in
I'm
your
sorry,
face.
I need you're going to pee in my face. Don't you, Ted?
I'm going to R-Killer the shit out of you.
Well, you know what it is? Because you guys like the blue. He'll throw you to yellow, and it'll make green, and he's back to his Eagles. That's
there
where I see it all comes together. Back.
See,
he should have made that connection, but I did. That's why I'm
worked.
The host.
I worked.
Hold
that
on.
Worked beautifully.
My throat's hurting a little bit. Can we take a 15-second water break?
I'll still pee in your face.
What the hell is that?
He said Joe Montana. He's talking about your team.
See, the audio plays through my shit, so, like, when Stan plays audio, it's ridiculous, because it's like holding your phone to a speaker, and it doesn't come across. It's just like... I don't know what that was.
I needed a sip of water. That was just somebody yelling LT, LT, LT.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
That's right. I don't know. Only thing that matters right now, you guys talking Giants, Eagles, all this is...
San Francisco.
That's right. And I'm going to try to coerce me a guest next week to hopefully sing that fucking
yo,
song.
Mia Yim.
She's not singing San Francisco.
I don't care. You scared damn guest anyway. Who cares?
Can your guest be Hakeem Nicks and we could talk about his 17-inch hands?
Yo, told you. Look, listen. Look what he's saying right now. 17-inch hands. Like, come on. What's that telling you? You worry about another dude's hands.
He catches a lot of footballs. So that's my extra-large gloves.
Wow. This is going downhill.
It sure is. But I don't know, man. 17-inch hands would land you some Mia Yim. You keep asking. I don't know, man. Grow your hands, son. But there's a lot of Giants with a week off next week, so maybe we'll have a New York Giant on the fucking Yakuza Kick Radio next week.
Jay, I know you're coming across. I see it happening. You're absolutely right. The Giants will have a week off before they travel out to Indianapolis for the Super Bowl, where the 49ers will have
the 49ers play against the fucking Patriots. Yes. They will be traveling out to Indianapolis and watching the San Francisco 49ers play in the Super Bowl. And that is a very, bold and accurate prediction. I would go with that.
I can't wait for the Super Bowl commercials.
Dude, I...
Right? Really? That's what my wife fucking says.
This is awesome jargon. I like this banter.
Stan worried about like the dude 17-inch hands and shit. He wants to get fist fucking his butt.
So what else do you normally says that, and now can you do the same thing she normally says? Oh, look, Golden Girls has a marathon on before the game. Can you say that for me? Because that's the same shit she says and every other woman says.
Oh, I want to pee in your face.
You're really on some R. Kelly shit. I need to queue up some R. Kelly clips for next time Juan calls in because he's
hell
all about
yeah.
It.
Prostitutes.
Factory.
Pissed at school, pissed at food.
Yeah, I will throw
coffee in your
fucking face.
Throw away golf book set B and take a crap in my book bag.
Yep.
Yo, Stan, I'll throw coffee in your face.
Okay, that's just rude.
That's homosexual.
It's very less homosexual. I'm not being rude to you. I'm not shitting on your chest. I'm not ejaculating on your nose. I mean, really.
Bullshit, man.
Motherfucker. You know?
I'm going to ejaculate in your eye socket. Come on, you don't see half of people.
That was my next one, too. Shit, he stole it.
Wake up, sleeping fucking beauty!
Oh, shit. I got to watch that shit again, yo. Dude with the fucking cowboy boots.
He's going to ejaculate in his eyes.
I'm your friend!
Did you see what Brent posted in the chat room?
Really, Juan, people don't really just come out and say, I'm going to pee in your face. That doesn't happen in real life, bro.
Jay, do you see that in the chat room?
What in the chat room?
What Brent posted
Brent?
In the chat room?
Yeah. Yeah. Brent seems to think Juan is sexually attracted to Stan.
Juan, is it my manly voice that gets you going?
Let me see. Yeah. That's what it is.
Juan, would you like to come over and sit next to me and watch the Giants game this weekend?
Nope.
I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
Juan.
I think Jay does.
We could share a big bowl of popcorn and maybe.
Jay, he said he wants to share a big bowl of popcorn.
Well, listen.
And he had a hole cut out of the bottom of it, he says.
That's not turning on me, motherfucker. You got a relationship going. You know what I mean? You can't phone off that shit on
me. We could share a big bowl of popcorn and maybe accidentally reach in at the same time. Would you
yeah,
do it live? Fuck it. Do it live.
Yeah.
Stan going
Juan,
overboard now. I was just joking,
Juan,
but
if you get real lucky, maybe, just maybe, I'll wipe my ball sweat on your nose.
The fuck
hey,
you say?
Faggy straight, faggot! Faggot! Faggot!
Yeah? What else?
Fuck you!
So what?
Gay as hell.
Juan, do you like go around and just go, I'm going to pee in your face?
Nah, I go to my job and I'm going to throw coffee in your face.
And you just walk around and say that to people?
Yeah, I do.
Hell fucking yeah!
And you think that's like socially acceptable to say to people?
Yep. I say, yo, I'm going to throw coffee in your face. They
you think the honey
like,
badger
what?
Cares? It doesn't give a shit.
Is that after they drive past you after your job at the car wash? You say like I'm gonna throw coffee in your face, but they're already like pulling down the street after you dried it off.
Nah, I said I'm gonna throw coffee in your face. They look at me.
How's
like,
that? What do you say, stupid?
And Randall comes around like that. And he says the same shit that how you did. Randall walks out.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Then Bernie Mac from under the grave says that.
Damn right. He says that shit from a public record.
And Jay calls me and starts cursing me out. Say, okay.
Jesus!
Zad had to call me last night saying that shit. It's like, fuck is wrong with these people?
I know, man.
Well,
two evil ducks came knocking on my door like, what the fuck y'all doing here?
Juan, I appreciate this banter back and forth. Next, when I see you, I'm going to vomit on your shoes. And it was very enjoyable.
Yeah, honestly, I was just fucking cocky right in the back of the head when you tried that shit. When you're throwing up on the floor, I'm just hitting
you
right in the back of the head.
Listen, yo, a minute ago we were so loving. We don't need to get violent with this. We really, you know what I mean? Like, just, you know. You know? Let's keep it happy.
There's no need for the violence, Juan. At about 6:43 Sunday, think about me when you're salsa dancing in your living room to Victor Cruz's touchdown. And just think about me, and we can become best friends over our love for the Giants, Juan.
I'm not a Giants fan. I'm an Eagles fan.
It's okay. We'll convert you, Juan.
All right, now we're going to all listen while this dork finishes his little useless yakety-yak-yak, okay?
Go ahead.
Wait, I'm lost now. Fuck that.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
So someone walked into the Eagles and says that to him. Like, what?
Kidding me?
You know what's happy to me? That the fact of the matter is that, you know, Stan can play his gimmick, and that's fine. And I won't even call him out on it. But however.
You did.
There happen to be three people on this show, other than myself, that don't have a team in the playoffs that are arguing about the playoffs. It's fucking phenomenal. I can't love this any more than I do.
Hold on.
You
guys
continue,
are
you guys. What?
Listen, I'm super upset by that
comment. The Niners. NFC, right?
Well, I'm counting invisible people, and of course, Stan's Giants are still in the playoffs.
I know, but the Giants are AFC, right? Are they? That's what I think.
What the hell are you talking about?
No, because I want to go for people at NFC because we're out, so that means I'm going for the team there's in NFC. So I'm going for the Niners.
One.
San Francisco.
The Giants are in the NFC also won.
Oh, I don't care about the Giants then. I hope they lose, honestly.
Yeah.
This is bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
I really do they lose.
Yeah.
The only reason I want to watch this for the commercial, that's it. Then see the score. For the commercial to see the score, like San Francisco had like 50 and Giants got like 12.
Juan, are you going to sit there and hope that those techies
Yeah, I do that at work too. I have a soundboard on my phone.
You have a soundboard on your phone. Juan, are you ready in Bud Bowl 42?
Nope.
No.
You know what colors will not? You know what colors will not be fucking represented in?
Oh,
this
hold on, hold
Super
on.
Bowl,
I know this one.
Either
I know
way
this
you
one.
Look at it.
I know this one. Green.
Yeah. Oh shit!
No, you should by now.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Louis Khalifa's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Just two colors, just on the right.
Seriously, someone makes a song with that bullshit, blue and red.
I'm sorry, what was going on?
I will hit you with a sock full of pennies.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to hock a loogie and spit in your hair. What the fuck?
Yo, that's a fast. Yo, that shit's heavy. Here, try to hit that. Try that one day. Full of basaka with full of pennies and swing it.
I'm gonna get real upset and throw water on you and then hit you with flour.
I'll tar and feather your ass.
Tar and feather.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
Dude, that was the greatest promo ever, right there.
So he's going at. I don't know.
That's it, Juan. Next time I see you, it's Chinese waterboarding for you.
What the fuck, Jay? Really? Names?
Dude, Mel Gibson just randomly pops up. I don't know what the fuck happened.
No, I'm talking about Words with Friends now.
Dude, Words with Friends? I probably hit you fucking 2 days ago on that shit. So, dude.
Oh, yeah, because I was busy at work, sorry.
Yeah, don't bring that up on my show. I'll fucking drive into your house.
Okay, I'll be waiting for you.
Wow.
Like fucking Three's Company, that's awesome.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
All right.
Thank you, Kinty, bro.
So yeah, man, I think we're pretty much getting towards the end, Juan. Thanks for the well wishes on the 49ers.
Yep.
I like that very much. We'll be back next week to celebrate our victory over Victor Cruz's shimmying corpse. And, you know.
I still hate you, Stan.
All okay. Right. Well, next week will be even better. And,
I used to have that hatred for Eric, not no more.
Now,
hey,
Juan,
next week he'll be betting against your team, and you'll hate him again.
Yep.
Juan, that's my birthday gift, because, you know, in like 8 minutes, it's going to be my birthday. So.
Well,
yeah.
Wait till next season, then you'll go against the Eagles, and I'll start
No, 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 no,
again.
We're cool. We're cool now. We're, you know, let's go chill a couple drinks, you know, a couple beers, you know, just relax. You just got to relax. Sometimes you just got to, you know, understand, you know, sometimes, you know.
All right, you guys.
Well, who do you see them picking up in the NFL draft? Who do you got?
They're going Gators play with them now. We're making this is like one of those when they what do they call that circle date shit when they, you switch tables every fucking 2 minutes?
Yeah, 2 minute dating. No, shit.
Speed dating.
Speed dating. There you go.
You don't care.
Juan, please stop thinking about Michael Vick. Please.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, Jay, your girlfriend beat me. On the game. It's like 247-178. Hey, I lost.
That's because you barely speak English.
I beat you, and you all of a sudden the file got corrupted. It's like, oh,
I drink a lot. So it kind of makes me to the illiterate level that you are, because I drink to that extent. And it's, you know, it's my own fault. I'm not going to take anything away from you. But
the hell?
You are normal.
How many times I beat you in this game?
Actually, my records show that I beat you twice. So
no,
apparently
bullshit,
you don't understand Facebook enough.
I went on that
enough.
Thing and says, oh, the file's corrupted. Like, what the fuck, how is that possible?
Well, but I'm telling you right now, it tells me that I beat you twice. Like,
you're...
Facebook tells me that I won twice.
Well, Facebook
it's in the
is
record,
a fucking
and it's
liar,
like,
okay?
Two times,
Facebook is a fucking
I have like
liar.
I have like a two times trophy off of beating your ass, so
Facebook
I don't know what
you've
is
been a
saying. Liar. How do you spell Facebook?
F-A-C-E-B-O-K-K-E-B-K-K.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
All right, bro. Yeah, have a good night, you guys.
Yeah,
all
man.
Right, see you, Juan.
All right, bye.
Good night, Juan. Yes. So that was his one. That was Juan and his twist on the English language. Fantastic. Good, good, good. Yeah, even Brent saw that I beat Juan twice. Oh, English. You tricky, tricky thing, you. So, anyway.
Hello. That was fun.
So, what else goes on? I mean, we got to stay on the air for another couple minutes for sure. Fucking bullshit about something to get ourselves.
I got a bunch of stuff to talk to you. I got a bunch of stuff to talk about.
Let's
go.
What? Yeah, we went over Rome, motherfucker. First off, you show up like an hour after the show starts. You act like you make your own hours and shit. You know what I mean? So you think I'm just gonna fucking dance in a circle and shit? Like, I know we had the juggling mimes going all night, and I didn't. I actually didn't even mention that previously, but the juggling mimes have actually been performing all night for us. Last week we had singing. This week we had juggling mimes, and they've been fantastic. We've seen everything from Blades to Fire to electricity. They've somehow juggled electricity, and you guys have no idea, and the judges will decide. America have spoken. Anyway, yes, we did talk about Raw, and if you would like to interject your thoughts on Raw, Stan.
I want to know
your opinion, motherfucker.
I was coaching my daughter's basketball game. I apologize. Game, you know, starts at 8:45. Or I'm sorry,
well,
8:30.
They're gonna have to bring that back a little bit. You know what I mean? Like,
I'll work on that for the.
You're
show.
On a committee,
but
aren't you?
Yes, I'm on a couple
right.
different, too many
Shit.
Committees. When I signed the contract for the show, you know, I did stipulate that. That it'd be under my conditions, and I'd be the highest paid assistant host.
Of course, yeah. Highest
you're
paid.
Like Kevin Nash. If anybody gets paid higher, you get higher.
That's why we're
going
to talk about that pay cut that you know I had actually meant to bring up. But
well, Eric, just so you know, my contract says I get one more zero in my amount per week than you.
That's great. Well, all of you have several zeros and no other numbers. So, anyway, WWE.
Random
thoughts.
It was not very good. The whole show was terrible. Jericho was fantastic. I absolutely loved what he did.
I'd agree. What do you think is the payoff, though? I mentioned earlier what I think the payoff is, and sight unseen because you were watching girls basketball at the time. What?
Coaching. Coaching.
What,
coaching girls basketball.
Watching
very
coaching.
Good.
Whatever. What do you see as the payoff?
I think they somewhat started the Punk angle.
But is there a segue? What's the next like big? Thing, not talking about Brock Lesnar.
I don't know how they're going to work the Punk. I think Jericho's going to leave Punk a couple times, you know, and do that whole thing, and Punk's going to get mad, and that's how they're going to start it. That's how I think it's going to go.
I think Jericho's winning the Royal Rumble, and then they're going to segue it in from there because he gets an automatic title shot, and then they're going to have to work it in because he's the obvious guy who already won that, and they can still play it out for months afterwards seamlessly, and then they already have
that.
How
does he win the Royal Rumble, though? How does he win the Royal Rumble with that gimmick?
Easy. Oh, so easy. He could do the cheesiest shit in the world to get the win, like accidental fucking celebrating, you know, you get, you know, late entry or avoid people and be taunting around in the ring where other guys are fighting and eliminating each other, and then he gets into it and, you know, does some old silly shit and then just fucking eliminates somebody and then jumps up and down like it's the best thing in the world and fucking all of a sudden now he has a title shot. So, you know what I mean? Like, for the shit that he's working with a bunch of other people involved. When is it? I don't know.
29th.
Okay.
29th. So that's
so
what next?
One more row?
Yeah, one more row.
Okay.
Everybody
yeah,
gets
that,
put in there. Brodus Clay eliminates fucking 5 to 10 people and they get tossed out. I mean, who else wins? I mean, title shot WrestleMania, who else wins? Everybody's
no,
talking
right.
CM Punk and Jericho. Who, how's it happen?
Isn't there 30? Give wrestlers to go win this thing?
30.
What?
30. Is there 30 wrestlers to even get into the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, anyway? Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
No, I know 30. I know 30 wrestlers go into the match. Does WWE have 30 wrestlers to go into this? That I.
Well,
yeah.
Apparently, JTG and Curt Hawkins and Tyson Kidd still have jobs thanks to Brodus Clay. I know that now, and yeah. They still have jobs. I didn't know that prior, and then they lost within, a combined 2 minutes. And now I know they still have jobs, and you can fill slots with that. Honestly, I mean, they have a shitload of FCW talent to bring up if they want. They have, joke wrestlers they can bring out. McFoley can get a little bullshit spot.
Claudio's been working house shows. Tyler Black's been working dark house shows. John Moxley's been working house shows.
Remember when WWE was good and they actually had 30 wrestlers that, 25 of them you somewhat thought had a chance?
Shit, this is completely off topic, but remember when fucking Survivor Series was fucking awesome and you had motherfucking teams on, the whole card?
Yeah, yeah.
When it was actually, the whole card was just, teamed up, and, a lot of them were random, and they all had, cool team names. Maybe not so cool, but at the time, they were cool. And it was just oh, look at that. They have the fucking, fucking strutting and cutting team, and it's this guy, and this guy, and this guy, and this guy, and that guy. Strutting and smashing, and it was, a combination of Brutus and fucking Demolition, like just random, but crazy. They work
here
gimmicks
the
and angles up to it.
Here
huh?
comes the smash. No, I'm singing the song. Here comes the axe. Here comes the smash. Here comes the demolition song. Come on.
Is that all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. So, but yeah, I mean, who do you think's winning the Royal Rumble?
No, the Jericho thing makes sense. That definitely makes sense.
I would think so, because, you know,
I
he hasn't
see anybody else winning it.
I think the $1 million team was the best Survivor Series team with DiBiase, the Powers of Pain, and Zeus.
Zeus.
I think that was the best Survivor Series team of all time.
Yeah. So, besides that, on Raw, shit, what did you think about... Well, you like the ending segment. What did you like about the ending segment? Because I like
that. I like the ending. I thought it was good with, what the hell, Laurinaitis.
Laurinaitis.
Finally getting upset. Finally showing some emotion. Finally coming out of the shell. I liked it.
Do you think that it, you don't think that that comes off weak when a guy fucking destroys him for 10 minutes and then, that guy leaves, and then the next guy's so, hey, anything, and then he freaks out. Shouldn't you freak out of the guy that, got in your face for 10 minutes?
No, because he was trying to hold it together, and he couldn't hold it together any longer. I liked it. I thought it worked. He was trying to keep the company line, and then it just you know, it broke, but it broke after CM Punk already left. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Foley coming back altogether. Thoughts?
Sucks.
Yeah, that sums it up, I think. Dolph Ziggler's fucking performance on the show.
Yeah, okay. I like
really?
Dolph, but, okay. Yeah, it was all right.
Nah, I mean, I really thought he cut fucking bomb promos and fucking really did his thing. He actually looked like a stronger fucking dude promo-wise earlier in the show against Punk, and that's hard to do. And then, you know, everything, you know, he did everything, and, you know, Punk came off super strong in the end of the joint. But, yeah, I thought he really did really well to show himself as a, like, a promo guy, like a mic time guy. And, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't. I like I said, I am weird with Dolph. I know that I like him, but I can't admit to it yet. I guess I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like I know there's so much there, but at the same time, he frustrates me a little bit right now. But I know he could be a main eventer.
Well. Yeah, I mean, of course he can. I mean, he definitely did all that. What else did I... Oh, fucking Zack Ryder losing the fucking belt. What do you think about that?
Woo, woo, woo.
You know it.
You know it.
Don't care. I don't get the whole Zack Ryder thing. It bothers me.
Me neither. Him losing the belt is great to me because... Is that bitch fucking a dude in the air? I don't know. That's,
whoa.
Looks like it. I'm watching this thing on the TV, and it looks like...
Yeah,
man.
Looks like porn.
Sure does. The guy's like, yeah, fuck yeah, and I'm fucking yeah. I don't know.
Huh.
They're
hell
falling through the
yeah.
air. And he's going, hell fucking yeah. yeah. So, what did you have? What other stuff did you have, Eric? Because I know
okay,
you're...
By the way...
Happy birthday, Eric.
Thank you.
Woo!
And I would have keyed up. I should have keyed up. I didn't fucking realize. I would have keyed up a song, and I would have played Rebecca Black's Friday. if I had known previous to 5 minutes to the show that it was going to be your birthday. Well, instead, fuck it. I'll play this.
We have so many freedoms that it is
imagine
easy
no pizza.
To sometimes take them for granted.
It's fitting. Why not? Mike Tyson singing Imagine There's No Pizza? What's a better birthday song?
Imagine a world with no pizza. Imagine a place it will be.
Right?
You just close your eyes. It's impossible not to just bob your head.
Imagine the world with no pizza. This really good.
It's funny. I just had pizza tonight.
Yeah, but imagine. He never told a lie in his life. He just, I mean.
I'm just bobbing my head back and forth, you know.
The best pizza pie.
Come on, Stan. Bob your head back and forth.
Oh, I'm going.
Oh, man.
I look like
pizza,
Ray fucking
pizza.
Charles over here.
Can you imagine eating pizza?
Can you imagine eating pizza, Eric? That's what it feels like on your birthday.
I didn't know you were going to have that guy last week on again.
Vote for me.
What?
I didn't know you were having that same guy singing last week on again.
No, but I decided to. This is actually Mike Tyson. You know,
oh,
he's just
I'm
impersonating
sorry.
Last week's guy. But he'll be back.
Alrighty. So tonight, Ring of Honor, Friday night. Ring of Honor returns to Philadelphia for Homecoming 2012.
No. You got it all wrong. Eric's Birthday Spectacular, hosted by Ring of Honor, is what?
It's the best pound for pound wrestling on the planet. Returns to the city where it all started at the Pennsylvania National Guard Armory. 27,000 Southampton Road, Philadelphia, PA, 8 o'clock. Special meet and greet at 7 p.m. with the young knockout kid Chris Hero and the World Tag Team Champions, the Briscoes. $15 our tickets. Only $15. Get your tickets.
You work
peanuts. Yeah, tickets now.
Get your peanuts.
Yeah, peanuts. Hey.
You can get your peanuts and a ticket.
Ring of Honor World Champion versus Ring of Honor TV Champion, Davey Richards versus Jay Lethal. Young knockout kid, Chris here. Chris Hero versus Michael Elgin with Truth Martini. A Gateway to Honor match. It's the world's greatest tag team show.
You're trying to talk like an old school guy. What are you doing there, pup?
Show
what are you doing
show
there,
and Tony Haas versus Future Shot.
I'm Corey
Kyle Riley. In a singles match, it will be Jake Calboris versus DJ Hyde.
I'm about to introduce a barbershop quartet. Jesus Christ.
Hey, right around the way, we got a guy that'll cut your hair quite nice-like. Yep, okay, bub.
Step right up. Cool. Swing the hammer. Win a prize.
Hey,
step right up.
Show your strength. Hit the hammer. Where are the champions?
The baseball runners are just high-lifted.
Well, you got to step up. If you got to show something, you got to step up to show it.
Never five match day or the Edwards versus Alex Strong.
I can't even understand what you're saying to me. You're making it worse. I'm trying to make it funny. Go ahead. Speak.
John Hurd, Eddie Edwards versus Roderick Strong.
What the fuck?
Jesus Christ,
that?
Cookie, what else is going on?
The special
for Cookie and what else
match.
Happened?
Chad
Fowler
versus
Kenny
King.
Steve for championship match.
For those of you who are coming
CZW
to the show and haven't been here a while, see, it was so much better if it was done like that instead of, hey, I'm a world champion, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know.
Anyway, that was the Saturday show, and then the next day, that's the Friday show, and the next day, Saturday, it's in Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia. Tag team main event, grudge match, Team Richards, Davey and Kyle Riley versus Roderick Strong and Michael Elgin. The winners will receive
a contest. Sounds like a slobber knocker out there.
Oh, slobber knocker.
Those whippersnappers sound like tough ones.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. On to the next one.
Briscoes versus Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander in a World Tag Team title match. Survival of the Fittest 2011 rematch. Die Hard Eddie Edwards versus Prodigy Mike Bennett.
And, folks, that means they've done it before.
In a proven ground match, World TV Champion Jay Lethal takes on Tommaso Ciampa.
Ciampa.
And a special challenge match, Adam Cole versus Kenny Bono. Kevin Steen.
Chaz Bono.
And that's the Ring of Honor show in Norfolk.
It sure shit is.
Five
that's
fucking matches
is,
for a show. That's not worth any money.
Can you do that voice one more time, please?
Yeah, fucking bullshit.
Can you do that voice one more time, please? Please.
Which one?
Whichever one. Anyone.
The following contest. I'm going to have to start charging. I want $15 for... Alright, real quick. I got this from Mean Gene says...
Mean Gene says...
He was on an interview with Aftermath Radio.
Let me tell you, Mean Gene. Go ahead.
They asked him on the upcoming WWE Network and reality TV show, WWE Legends House, will he be a part of the show? He said, I can tell you this. I think there's some reservations about the particular program because we're talking about senior citizens. Of course, that's not me. Yes, I intend. Yes, I've been asked to be a part of it. So let's go. Let's see what happens.
Yes, he has committed to that from what I heard, and I hope that they get Ric Flair on board just for him to one time go, Mean Gene. And outside of that, I don't give a fuck what happens. But now apparently they have Honky Tonk Man, they have fucking Iron Sheik, they have Mean Gene. Dude, this fucking thing is going to be such an unbelievable train wreck. It's the reason why this company is not PG. Not the company. This channel is not going to be PG. And that's fucking phenomenal. And the show is going to probably be shut down halfway through the season. There will probably be like at least a third of the cast that leaves like very early. And hopefully fisticuffs happen. I'm all down with it. I'm all locked in.
Have they announced if it's going to be a pay site or not, or a pay channel or not?
As long as SOPA doesn't happen, I can download any fucking thing that they do.
You're going to get
SOPA.
That's hard.
What?
You're going to get SOPA.
SOPA?
SOPA.
WEPA?
Yeah, SOPA.
That's soup and spent. So are you just going to bring me soup like you did Eli, or are you saying
yeah.
that... We're getting
SOPA. Yeah, you're getting SOPA. You're not going to be able to download shit.
No, SOPA. No SOPA. No mas. No mas.
No mas SOPA, no mas trabajar. No mas stay pissed in the face.
No mas?
No mas.
No mas. I don't understand any of this shit, to be honest with you. And, you know, I get annoyed with everybody blacking their fucking picture out on Facebook. And I get annoyed with everybody fucking, you know, Google. You can still Google shit, but we're just going to black out where it says Google to prove you guys a point. Like, cut it out, dude.
I don't understand the whole thing, and I honestly don't have enough time to look it up and see what it's really fucking about.
It seems serious. It definitely does. But
but let me ask you a question. If they make this a law in the United States and they don't in Europe, what stops you from going, Eric? What stops you from going to get your German porn then? No big deal, right?
I think they're going to block everything in the United States. You can't get anything in the United States if you live in the United States.
But German porn is gross and fucking you're cock should stop you from going to German porn.
Well, I agree, but what's
just,
gonna stop
I mean,
you
just,
going to...
just my own opinion, but yeah, what can stop a fucking pedophile fucking fetish master from going to German porn? Who knows? Who knows what can stop them? Probably nothing.
Right. Not even SOPA. But listen, I don't
They'll
like...
They'll be SOPA-upping their... Go ahead.
Like, they're going to ban everything coming into the U.S., but how are you going to... It's just... It's too much for them to watch. It's
well, the thing is, overall, well, theoretically, what they're going to do is all the major sites that host all of these torrents and these things, like, there will be no more free porn. Like, they will shut down the U-Porn, the all of that stuff. They will shut all of those down completely. Because they're not going to pick around through websites and be like, oh, well, this is good, this is good, this is good. They're going to be like, you host fucking illegal shit. You host copyrighted stuff. Your site is gone. And they're just going
right,
to wipe it the fuck out.
No, but listen, the government does not work that fast.
Well, that's the huge bills that they're trying to pass is just get rid of this shit. And
right, I understand that, but these people, these computer people, computer geeks, whatever you want to call them, are going to have so many of these things up so fast they're never going to catch them. Now, the uncomputer savvy people like me might be fucked because I'm never going to know where the hell to go get any of this stuff.
Right,
but you know, it's still going to happen. They're not going to be able to shut them all down as they're creating them every fucking 30 seconds.
But I understand that. But if you do shut down all the major venues, the major places to go and to get it, the people that are finding those avenues, they can fucking jump on and actually prosecute a lot faster because it's so few and far in between. It's not thousands of people on one movie. It's, you know, the people who know better, who know this, who know that, and are doing better to actually spread that shit out. And those are the people that are going to jump over. They already have their fucking name because they signed the stupid petitions to say that, hey,
Obama already said that he's not going to let this fucking get to it. If he gets to his office, he's going to veto it.
That's because Obama likes German porn.
Obama!
He likes porn in general. Come on.
I'm all for Obama, dog. Straight up, like, people have been on some shit. Fucking Mitt Romney strapped a fucking dog to the top of his car and drove across country, and he thinks that shit is good. He built the kennel, and it's fine, and there's plenty of air flowing through there as he fucking drove across the country, and he thinks that's good. And he's the front runner. He's an asshole, and I seen him fucking standing there in front of a guy in a wheelchair saying, dude, you're against medical marijuana. Well, I am stricken with a fucking disease that I can't fucking stop hurting, and the only thing that helps me is that, and I'm currently prescribed to that. Would you arrest me if you were in office? And he's like, I don't support medical marijuana. And he's like, but that's the only thing in all the medicines that I've tried, the doctors have prescribed me to that. And he's like, there's synthetics. I don't believe in that. And the guy, and the dude can barely fucking move. He's in a wheelchair, and his fucking neck is like fixed to his fucking chair. And dude's like, but would you arrest me if that was the case? And he's like, I don't agree with medical marijuana. Thank you. Thank you. And just walk the fuck off with a big fucking smirk on his face. Like, that shit didn't even faze him. He's a douchebag. You know, people want to get against Obama. That's fine. Like, I don't think that many people. I mean, there was a hatred, but people didn't get that up in arms about Bush, who clearly fucked us. Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, Obama wasn't the fucking best in the world, but I don't think he was the worst either. And following what the fuck he just came off of, I don't think he did that bad, quite honestly. Shit. The people that are fucking running against him right now are fucking maniacs, from what I could see. Not that he's the fucking best guy in the world, but fucking people are running against him. One of the motherfuckers is fucking everybody in the world, and he used to sell pizza. And Mike Tyson, if Mike Tyson makes fun of your ass, you got problems. And then, Mitt Romney's fucking strapping dogs to his roof, and fucking Rick Perry, he's a fucking douche. He got dropped out of that motherfucker. Herman Cain was fucking everybody. Newt Gingrich, that dude's a retard too. Hey, again, I mean, what do you have to fucking rely on right now? So either way, shit, if Obama's going to stop SOPA, Obama. Either way, I don't give a fuck I'm going with that. I didn't mean to turn this political, but it is what it is. What do y'all think?
I think the New York Giants support SOPA.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
Well, then our computer's going to shut down. It's
cool.
The same. I see red on y'all's screens. You know? You know? And I see a bitch eating a juicy hot dog, like fucking Larry Legend on my TV. Because I got that, like, Mansers thing going on. Because it's just, like, on whatever channel TNA was on while I was, like, watching the last half of that show with no audio. Which is the best way to watch TNA, because none of them can cut promos. Wow, what the fuck was that?
You know, it's funny. We said, like, 20 minutes ago that we were going to only talk for a few more minutes, and we've talked almost 22 minutes.
I know. Settle down. Hold on one second. Yes, yes, yes. There we go. Oh. Yes. I had to plug my phone in because it just gave me an alert that I was going to fucking die. Not me, but my phone. And that would be the end of everything, and I wouldn't even be able to give any outro. So, but, hey, you guys got anything else? Because, I give a fuck, I could talk, but, you know, we either got it, we don't.
All I got to say is, as a 31-year New York Giants fan,
here we go.
I can't wait till Eli brings a championship back to New York, New Jersey. I will be there in red and blue paint at the Giants ticker tape parade down the Canyon of Heroes. Hold on.
Oh boy.
Eli, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, the best quarterback out of that draft. Better than Roethlisberger, better than Rivers. He is elite. He does deserve 93 eyes at the end of his name after every pass he throws. Victor Cruz, from a poor town in New Jersey, coming up to make it big. Mario Manningham, JPP, Osteo Manura, Michael Boley, and all
you
my
don't understand, goddamn.
And all my other favorite Giants, I just want to say that the Blue Nation is behind you. We're there for you. We'll be cheering strong. Go out there. Go to San Francisco. Bring it back. Let's go to Indianapolis. All in, baby. All in.
San Francisco.
Yes. So, I think that's all we got for tonight.
Great fucking show, as always.
Well, you know, do what we do. Hopefully Stan can show up at 9 o'clock next week. That would be fantastic.
Maybe he will be, calling in, like, next week, you know.
I got to be honest with you. Next week, next Thursday, I'll try to.
We're practicing left-hand layups with the little girls. So.
No, I actually, after all the stuff I say on this show, I actually have a meeting with a town councilwoman about some things for the Pop Warner I run.
You're such a bag of dick. Such an enormous duffel bag of dick. What can we expect out of Stan next week?
Well, listen. That is my new thing. I will just go by one name from now on, like Madonna, you know, like Pink, and some other Prince.
So we'll just call you Pink?
No, right. Stan. Just call me Stan, that's it.
Pink.
Stan. I'm going to try to be on by 9 o'clock next week. I just can't make any promises.
Uh-oh. All right.
Maybe he'll be ducking you next week because, you know, he knows his team's going to
I don't duck nobody. Listen.
Fucking
yeah,
great.
Go
I bleed giant blue. Why I wouldn't say I bleed giant red, and that would make more sense.
Yeah.
But I bleed giant blue.
There's no red. There's no. I see red.
I bleed giant
blue.
Blood. I won't be ducking anybody. I tell you what, if the 49ers do somehow beat my Giants,
hometown boys.
I just can't see it happening. You better damn well believe.
But what if it does happen? What are you going to do?
I'm still going with Pink.
What?
That's your new name.
If the 49ers beat the Giants, Eric, what would I do?
Yeah.
Obviously be the lifelong 49er fan I always have been. Let's go Giants.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I'm going to wrap it up. For the birthday boy, Eric Williams. And my man Pink.
Pink.
My man Pink. That's what it is from now and forever. You know, wants to roll with them Giants. My man Pink is going to roll. That's it. So we'll see you next week. Hope you motherfuckers like the show. Check you motherfuckers out next week for all sorts of heckling and mayhem and hijinks and shenanigans on top of that if you're Irish. And peace, you motherfuckers. And don't forget, Giant fans, blow an avatar with a smurf up your asshole. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of fucking America.
This is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, depending on what this soundbite is meant for, Yakuza Kick Fucking Radio, hosted by Jay and Eric. Eric is the quiet one who I thought was off the phone for a long time, and but then he popped back in like he's the Andy Sumner as the hot tag, and he popped in with amazing force and jackhammered the fuck out of me with his three questions. So tune in next time, because fucking, yeah, Yakuza Kick Radio, something.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over. We're taking over.